Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go on what should be a humdinger of a Friday on the front porch. It is the second day of October 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. But you know that, but I got an email the other day saying, where is this program coming from? We are live from the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole Trump, Virginia, Stan. I'm Bob Kincaid, hillbilly elitist. I was born in a little log cabin in northwest Alabama to hillbilly parents in 19... Well, never mind. Whatever. Welcome to the program, one and all. If you're new to the program, gosh, we're glad to have you along for the ride and the conversation. What a conversation this may turn out to be this evening. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, though, and no matter how heady the topic this evening, we still begin every program here with gratitude. So that means thanks to Rocco and Elizabeth for their subscriptions, and thank you for have a show on me. Thank you. Thank you, Shorty, for the have a show on me this evening. Much appreciated. Thanks to all of our subscribers and all of our a la carte contributors. Again, we've got to have a show on me this evening. And since we are early in October, we'll go ahead and raise funds this evening in hopes of maybe getting a little bit ahead of things, and that would be wonderful if we could. But thanks for the have a show on me. It's much obliged. And Shorty, that was mighty kind of you. Thanks to Jeremy in Vermont for getting us started. This is today and tomorrow, as long as Ferg doesn't answer his phone, I remain Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver with a couple of days off. And that's fan-freaking-tastic, but I guess we... coffee breaks over and we're back on our heads come Sunday or something like that. Yeah. We'll try to raise the usual $200 this evening and hope that we can get a little jump on things. Like I said, it is a big day. It was about 1 o'clock this morning, and Agnes and I were winding down when it was a series of messages saying that that COVID Caligula had been exposed to the coronavirus, and then shortly thereafter came the announcement that he and Melanoma had tested positive for the Democratic hoax, or the China virus, or the Kung Flu, as the white supremacist in chief likes to refer to it. And so by the time morning rolled around and my filthy morning habit went live on MSNBC at 6 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, they were in full conniption mode. And for good reason. Because it turns out that the entirety practically, of the White House is just one great big viral cesspit. It just genuinely, yuck. So, what? What I'm getting at is that while everybody was just taking it as truth, that a guy who has told more than 20,000 lies in less than 4 years really had the disease, it left some of us a little skeptical. Now, some of that skepticism seems to be fading as the day has gone on, but you can't look. If this gang of foot pads and cut purses and highwaymen and ditch wallowers and lick spittles and boot licks said that the sky was blue, nobody in this country would be criticized for running to the window and checking to make sure it wasn't pink or orange or purple. Because lying is what they do. But that having been said, a note coming from Dave number 11. Those on Air Force One on Wednesday, because, see, here's the other thing. He went to, the Corona Caligula did, went to a fundraiser at his tacky, filthy, probably vermin-infested golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey, yesterday, and mingled with about 100 people. No mask. He was reported by his sycophantic bootlicking lick spittle minions as being lethargic. Some of it being chalked up to maybe the really bad, awful, terrible, no good, really awful day evening that he had Tuesday in Cleveland. But no, he tested positive for the Rona. Using a testing protocol, by the way, the Abbott Labs really, really fast test that only gets its data right 50% of the time. Might as well toss a coin. But now that other people are coming down sick, including precious, adorable, darling Hopi Hicks, it looks like it might be true. Especially with the breaking news, saw it from the New York Times and the Associated Press, that he has been given a one-time cocktail of a drug developed by some drug company called Ragnarok. No, not Ragnarok. Regeneron. And it's called RegenCoV-2. And it's a double cocktail of two anti-COVID virals that hasn't even been fully tested. So if they're giving him that, and if the company is saying they're giving him that, and if he hasn't called in to Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or ONAN, the network that spills its news upon the ground, hasn't tweeted, hasn't called anybody fake news or insulted, and he's in the residence and having to quarantine in company with melanoma, maybe it's for real. Yeah. And now a third member of the White House Correspondents Association has tested positive because, of course, yesterday, when we had some of the, remember, we had the audio of Kali Maganini, who was melting down because a reporter simply asked her, where's this river in Wisconsin or Pennsylvania where these ballots were found floating face down, huh? And she said, well, okay, it wasn't a river, it was a ditch. Well, it turns out that she knew that when she was standing there without a fucking mask in the White House briefing room, spraying and spewing and hooting and barking and growling and grunting at the White House press corps, she knew that she had been exposed. And so now the White House Correspondents Association has announced that a third member of the press corps is in fact sick with the Rona. And it's all over. It's all over the White House. It's all over Air Force One. It's all over Marine One. And so Dave number 11 says, those on Air Force One on Wednesday were White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, no mask, National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany, Precious Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner, Young Jared, Trader Tot, Eric the Dumber, Trader Tot's girlfriend and really disgusting sexual abuser, Kimberly Gargoyle, Guilfoyle, Eric's wife, Laura, who's also on the payroll, Tiffania Trump, campaign manager Bill Stepien. All of a sudden, I bet Brad Parscale, who melted down last weekend, is thinking, you know, I'm kind of glad I'm down here in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, they may put me in a rubber room, but I might not get the Rona. Bill Stepien, campaign official Jason Miller, White House social media director Dan Scavino. He writes a bunch of Nitwit Nero's tweets. White House counselor Derek Lyons, political advisor Stephen Miller. Oh, really? Representative Jim Shorts Jordan, who, by the way, refuses to go into quarantine, even though he sat there in enclosed quarters and breathed potentially coronavirus particles. So now he's probably running around Capitol Hill trying to say howdy to all of his Democratic colleagues. And Alice Marie Johnson, the criminal justice reform advocate that Trump pardoned. Jesus, that's just sad. And now, says Dave number 11, a horn exclusive, which sadly involves me attempting to sing. A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that clown car used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But 2 October made me shiver with every post that I'd deliver. Good news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I do remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. Something touched me deep inside the day the clown car died. Diddle-diddle-ding-ding-ding. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my escort to the levee, but the levee was dry. And the pain of the proud boys drinking whiskey and rye, singing this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. And where's my 12-string guitar when I fucking need it? That's awesome, Dave. Thanks a bunch. First jingle of the evening. Dave also, and we'll put this out for general consideration as well. Like me, Dave's been thinking about Lady B and wondering if things are going okay for her. Dave pointing out she's been well off the radar, as far as I know, for a while now, and she has, and I've been wondering and, well, I admit, worrying about her, too, because she's front line, and I just hope she's okay. If you're listening, Lady B, check in. And this, Bob, I texted Billable about midnight last night, told him that Hope Hicks had the virus. Then Giraffe jumped in with some of his amazing wisdom and said, there is no hope for the Hicks, the woman herself, or the maggots. Once again, Giraffe is correct with his uplifting observations. Thank you, Giraffe. Billable Rick texted me back 2 hours later in the early hours of the AM to inform us that Donald and melanoma tested positive for the virus, too. Then Jeffrey made a prescient observation. Does Joe Biden have the virus, considering he was in the same room with Donald at the debate when Donald was ranting and raving and yelling across the stage? Just then, the goddess of irony struck, and at about noon today, I received a message on my computer screen just as I was typing Joey's journal that said, Joe Biden has tested negative. I couldn't get back to sleep last night, so I decided to just listen to the debate once more, but not watch it. Sort of a Kennedy-Nixon-type scenario, where the outcome was perceived much differently by those who watched in comparison to those who only listened on the radio. Yes, Scott and I were talking about that last night. As I listened, Trump just came across as that drunk uncle who shows up at Thanksgiving dinner and just runs his mouth and barely allows anybody else to express an opinion. Or, as somebody said, it sounded like an annoying dog barking that just wouldn't shut up. Joe did a great job of making his points, and that really came through if you were just listening. Trying to make a point when you know at any moment somebody's going to start yelling at you is very difficult. Biden was excellent with his low-key demeanor, and he did a great job of making his points and getting in some good verbal jabs. Bob often mentions the show Law and Order. Dum-dum. Hey, wait a minute. Does the word dumb have a B at the end of it? Just asking for my friends Donald and Iwanka. Now, you know the part of the show where the detectives are interrogating the suspect and they play good cop, bad cop? Where the bad detective screams and tries to intimidate the suspect, and then the calm, mild-mannered detective comes in and just speaks rationally. Well, while Donald was hollering and just trying to intimidate America with all of his lies, threats, and scare tactics, Joe Biden just trying to be level-headed, calm, and rational as relates the facts to the American people. I like the part when Joe told Donald to shut up. Shut up, man! That was funny, but I cringed when Joe called Donald a clown. If there are any more debates, I do not want Joe to go down to Donald's level. What I do want Joe to do is talk about the economy, since 52% of the country believes the economy is good. What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey says, Joe should continue to grow that spine, and soon his will be as long as mine, by talking about Trump's terrible trade deals and tax incentives for corporations to move factories out of this country, which has led to the loss of over 1,800 factories. Not to mention 4 million small businesses closed for good, 1 in 10, because of Trump's COVID cover-up and an unemployment rate of nearly 8% as of today's employment numbers. In the end, it's all about the economy, so let's end Trump's presidency with an endless discussion of Trump's economy. This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the second day of October, with Giraffrey factoring out the Trump economy. And I think there's a $25 factor-out Trump challenge on the table as a consequence of that. Thank you. Thank you. That Giraffrey, he's just something. And, of course, within all of this Sturm und Drang of the day, the one thing that I thought about, and it was as I watched the Filthy Morning Habit. And by the way, I had a message earlier today from our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. And it was a fairly straightforward message. All it said was, what the fuck, Washington Journal? So I take it that the maggots were out in force today on Washington Journal. Ugh, yeah. But there was a moment in the debate on the shit show on Tuesday when asked about wearing a mask, Corona Caligula declared, "Well, sure. I mean, I wear a mask. I mean, I wore a mask earlier when I had to. I mean, I had a mask. But I mean, he's ridiculous. Joe is." Joe's just, I mean, every time I see him, he's got a mask on. He could be 200 feet away from people, and he's wearing a mask. I mean, it's like the biggest mask I've ever seen. I mentioned that moment because I think the goddess of irony has been patient in the extreme with disease Donald. But I think it was that moment where she sighed, and said, "Enough is enough," and reached over and tweaked his little orange orangutan nose. Yeah. I don't know where he found it, but our buddy Ben Birch, Jeremy in Vermont, tells me that 3 minutes ago, Ben Birch of White Rose Society posted, "Trump on the way to Walter Reed." What, don't they have any ventilators in the White House? Or maybe, and here's an interesting thing. Yeah, there it is, AP breaking news. Trump to be taken to Walter Reed Medical Center. He will remain for a few days on the advice of physicians. Well, this will be his second or perhaps third lickety-split trip to Walter Reed. You'll recall his first one was November 19th. Yeah. And, of course, melanoma has tested positive as well. Curiously, little boron has tested negative, which makes one wonder, because if we know anything about the relationship, well, we know why he doesn't, he didn't get it from his dad, because he's never anywhere near his dad, for the most part. But he has tested negative. So that means somebody else is looking after him besides melanoma. Yeah. Darlene in Connecticut pointing out, "Trump is a walking super spreader event in and of himself. LOL." Yep. Maggots in Minnesota are scrambling to get tested because he was barking and grunting and hooting and spewing all over them not long back. And Darlene reminds us, don't forget there's a rising number of members of the White House press testing positive. Thank goodness Joe and Jill tested negative. P.S. My mom tested positive again. Damn. We're waiting on a follow-up test, hoping it's negative and that she had a false positive. She was still put in quarantine and is asymptomatic, thankfully. The fuck is going on? I told her I want her to have a fourth test. These for-profit nursing homes take forever to administer the tests. So, either the positive she had earlier this year was false, or this second one is false, or you can get reinfected. That's a possibility, Darlene. She just may be outside the window of her immunity. PPS. Getting sick of Democrats on the Hill acting all saddened about Trump's and Melania's situations and praying for them. Seriously, after everything, after his recklessness, which is putting it mildly, I would not wish this on anyone, even the first couple, but they poked the bull with their swords, and it finally charged. I think Trump is seriously ill from this. He's been way too quiet. Well, what it boils down to, Darlene, is we've moved into ancient Soviet, the ancient Soviet leader portion of the program, in which we will be told how gloriously virile, magnificent President Trump is and is enjoying private time of man of people at Dasha in wonderful woodlands. No shit, as I was watching my Filthy Morning Habit this morning, they announced that, right quickie-like, huggable, cuddlable, lovable, snugglable Vlad Putipoot had sent his sympathies and wishes for a speedy recovery for his puppet, friend, Donald Trump, or puppy, yep. Yeah. Right. When they announced that they had given him an early cocktail of the Ragnarok, or Regeneron cocktail, they said that In addition to this double antibody cocktail developed by Regeneron, according to a memo from his doctor, Dr. Sean P. Conley, Mr. Trump is also taking vitamin D, zinc, melatonin, a daily aspirin, and famotidine, an antacid better known as Pepcid. Huh. They left out the finasteride, the propecia. That means hair's going to start falling out? Or maybe it has been. Who knows? As for Walter Reed, Lee in New York says, "Relax, Bob. It's just a checkup. He's the healthiest president ever. He'll live to be 200, said the most honest president ever. Said also Ronnie the Candyman Jackson, running for Congress in Texas on a full-on maggot platform. From CNN, Steve says President Trump's headed to Walter Reed Medical Center. He's had a fever since this morning, a person familiar with the matter says. The person said the fever remains consistent with the White House's earlier description of mild symptoms. This is in addition to new information released by the White House doctor, which described Trump as fatigued. The memo also says First Lady Melania Trump remains well with only a mild cough and headache, and the remainder of the first family are well and tested negative for SARS-CoV-2 today. Which is kind of interesting because one of the things Chris Wallace was asked some questions today, because this all falls within the time frame of him actually being actively infected, if asymptomatic, even that, at the time of the debate in Cleveland. And curiously, Chris Wallace confirmed that the entire Trump family arrived late so that they could avoid being tested, and then sat there in the studio audience, not a one of them wearing a mask. So that sort of says something. They all fucking knew, and they didn't care who they poisoned. That is why for weeks, if not months, and yes, months, the better part of a year, I've been explaining patiently that this gang is a gang of bioterrorists. If these were people with brown skin who spoke some Middle Eastern Semitic language and were walking around our country coughing and LARPing and smolicking and grabulating and lollygagging and butthole to belly button, crowding around each other and spewing and spraying and... Well, we would swear that we were under a terrorist bio attack. But hey, it's just the president's family and his slavish, servile fucking followers, so I guess we'll just pretend it's all okay. As to Trump's antibody cocktail, our buddy Tom in Smoky, San Rafael. Tom says, that antibody cocktail, that's what they gave my friend, although he'd been on a ventilator for weeks at the time. His ashes are at the bottom of the ocean now. So sorry. I'm so sorry, Tom. So sorry. Ralphs says, relax, people. He's just having the second part of his annual physical. Totally normal. Yeah. If they're saying that they want him to stay for a while, do you reckon, I don't know, were there any cameras? Did he actually go to the limousine or the helicopter or whatever under his own steam? Was he in a wheelchair? Is he headed for his horizontal crucifixion? You know, we've talked about that horizontal crucifixion in the past. It's a brutal thing. They induce a coma. And they run a garden hose down your gullet. They usually perform a tracheostomy to do it. They lay you flat on your belly. And they extend your arms outward so that you can be infused with medications. And usually maybe a nasogastric tube down the nose and into the stomach for nutrition. And the whole time, you're aware of what's going on around you, but you can't speak. And you can't move. And that's happened to God knows how many hundred thousand or more, perhaps, Americans. And one wonders if it will now happen to plague Pontius Pilate. But it brings up another issue. Another one that we've been talking about for years now. It's 25th Amendment time. It's 25th Amendment time. Yeah. It's time for, it sounds like it's time for a declaration that the president is no longer able to fulfill the duties of his office. Ah, thank you, Sparky. Says Marine One's getting ready to land at the White House. Wouldn't you hate to be that poor Marine helicopter pilot? That's one of the plum jobs in the entire United States military, piloting Air Force One and piloting Marine One. But now, with this gang of deliberately, willfully, maliciously indifferent punks and thugs, chauffeur of the presidential limousine, pilot of Marine One, and pilot of Air Force One, may damned well be a death sentence. Yeah. So I wanted to mention that I've been yakking for about a half an hour now. But I had mentioned to Sparky that I thought it might be wise for us to go to the front porch a little bit earlier. Usually I fill a Bobster for the first hour. But given the amount of interest in this topic, I thought folks might like to have a little extra time for engaging in conversation. And of course, if you want to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, it's easy enough. Just go to headon.live and click on the banner at the very top, and it will take you right into the Skype group, and you'll be part of the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable conversation. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene says, I love the alliteration. Cowbell, plague Pontius Pilate. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. Meanwhile, Freight Train Frank says, what about national security implications with 45 in Walter Reed? Should I worry? Oh, I think we're going to get some news about the triggering of the 25th Amendment in fairly short order. I'd be surprised if we don't. Hell, says Jimmy in the Great Northwest, every time I see Donald the Duck a l'orange, I sanitize my device. Yeah, and in that list of meds that Nitwit Nero's taking, they also left out his therapeutic dose of hydroxychloroquine. And funny, Mike the Meth Head from MyPillow is nowhere to be seen with a little vial of oleandrin for Nitwit Nero. And now the wires are all burning up with the news of his trip to Walter Reed. The Los Angeles Times again saying President Trump will be admitted to Walter Reed Hospital for a few days following COVID-19 diagnosis. Yeah, a few days. I'm not going to sit here and try to be above the fray and say, gosh, I certainly hope everything is okay with them. Well, wait a minute. No, I am going to say that. I hope the fucking asshole is okay. Because I don't want him going feet first out of the White House and the country going on some sort of goddamn grief binge and electing a ticket of Mike Pence and Nimrata Haley over Joe Biden just because we feel sorry for you know, Trump if he shuffles off this mortal coil. Bullshit on that. Get well soon, you fuckwit. We want you well enough to stand trial for all of your myriad fucking crimes. Because I'm just, you know, a nice guy that way. Get well soon, Donnie. Get well soon. And earlier today, the maggots were hooting and hollering and barking for Joe Biden to suspend his campaign. Fuck you! Oh, big time. Can't help wondering if Nitwit Nero reckon Vlad Putin sent him some of that special coronavirus vaccine from Mother Russia. You reckon that happened? I got no way of knowing. But whatever the case, as we try to keep up with the madness as it swirls around us, let's go check in with Sparky and see what's happening. Hey, Sparky, what's up?
Yeah, we got MSNBC on. They got a street view of Marine One, you know, the opposite side from the White House.
Yeah.
So you can't see what's happening on the other side where the ramps are.
Huh. Well, I imagine they probably don't want folks seeing that, don't you?
Well, they may be taking him out on a stretcher or something.
Precisely. Let me check here and see if I can call up.
The only person you can see is somebody sitting on the stairwell. You know where the stairwells come down on either side?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
And yeah, the one dressed Marine is standing out beside the helicopter like he always does.
Yeah, I see
see his head through the glass.
I see what I presume to be a security guy over by the archway by the stairs. And there's someone standing next to them.
When the helicopter was landing, you could see some Secret Service dude up on the roof. Looked like he had a tripod stand, maybe with a rifle. I don't know.
Oh, there are snipers permanently placed on the roof of the White House.
So who's running the damn country? That's what I would like to know. If he's on a stretcher.
Well, that's why I said, Darlene, it's 25th Amendment time. See, they tried running the fiction up the flagpole earlier today that, well, he's just not feeling quite himself, but he's keeping up with his work schedule over in the residence.
They probably had him strapped down in the residence.
That's why he had to cancel his phone call with seniors who are at risk of COVID-19, right?
Precisely.
And I think back to how he, you know, skewered Hillary Clinton when she was dehydrated because she couldn't handle, you know, she doesn't have the capacity to handle things health-wise. I'm sorry, I could not help myself. I mean, it just conjured that up. You know, that she's weak and all of this stuff.
Yeah, but who's been running the country for the last 3.5 years?
Well, I mean, that was something about the 25th that I sent to Bob from Raw Story. You know?
Well,
you know,
I don't see how they can take all, it. I don't see how he, at Walter Reed, I don't see how he can be able to discharge the duties of his office. Hey, over on the over on the stress line, we got a new caller, Tony. You there, Tony?
Hey, Bob, this is Cody. Sorry.
Oh, Cody, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you good? Yeah, I just I can't believe they're flying them in. I mean, this is this is unprecedented. Have we ever had a president in history other than FDR that got sick like this?
Oh, other I mean, it depends on how you define sick. Poor Garfield, James Garfield, was laid up for months in the White House, being medically malpracticed to death after he was shot by a nut job with a pistol. The pistol wound didn't kill him, but he lingered for months as the doctors killed him.
I remember when they arrested Ralph Reagan after he'd been shot.
Yeah.
Assassination attempts, yes. I mean, I guess
you know,
disease ridden would be the...
Well, and remember Eisenhower and his heart attack, Cody.
Yeah.
Yes.
And all the times I've seen a president jump onto the copter or jump off the copter, I have never seen it from this angle. The cameras are always on the sidewalk next to that staircase with the press and civilians from the White House.
There is no press on that side of the White House right now. I bet you they've all been run off.
That's what I mean. I've never seen this angle before because they don't want us to see what the fuck's going on.
Right. I just checked CNN, and they've got the same shot. They're just pulled back a little further. They're situated. I imagine both cameras are situated in Lafayette Park, looks like.
You're
right. It's on the ellipse. Yeah, it's the other side.
The south side.
Yeah.
Because there's no fence in the way.
Well, no, there's a barrier. Well, yeah, the barrier fence is there. It's just that they're
on the other side of the fountain because there's no fence in front of the fountain there. They're on the other side of that fountain.
Sparky, I'm looking at CNN's different camera angle right now. And they're shooting from further back, and you can see the fence.
Is that
this one? Stop? You can see that fountain going, and there's no fence in the way.
Well, the fence is in the way. You can see the fountain. The fountain, extends above the fence.
That's still pretty exposed, but the
they got
chopper
that damn
would
Chiron cover. Down there. I can't see nothing.
I mean, I have literally stood on that sidewalk in I guess 1984 or thereabouts. And watched Reagan walk out of that canopied entrance at ground level, waving to the crowd, and I've got pictures of it. I've never seen even Nixon in defeat and disgrace, you know, accompanied by Betty and Pat and Jerry. I mean, yeah, I've never seen the like of this before. He may be fighting them. They may have to strap his orange ass down.
Well, you know, like one of those rolling stretchers that lifts up and then the back end tilts up where your back area is.
Yeah. It's a gurney.
I know it real well because they've been in and out of this house quite a few times with my mom and my dad and my wife. They should go into the hospital. They strap you down in one of those things.
You don't mean a Hannibal Lecter handcart, do you, with the mask?
No. You know, it's a regular...
No, I know what you mean. I'm joking.
It goes up and down, and the legs collapse on one end when they put you into the ambulance.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but I would still think you can see it. I mean, from the angle, I'm looking at a still picture. It's a south lawn, right? I would think you would be able to see the wheels of a stretcher or a gurney or
well, okay,
they
so
call it.
This underneath might the plane, this might add a little this coverage. Might add this might add a little bit, Darlene. I just checked over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and it's a slightly different angle. And while you can, like Sparky was talking about with the MSNBC angle, you can see the Secret Service dude over by the steps, and somebody standing next to the Secret Service guy, and the Marine standing at parade rest at the front of the nose of Marine One. In this Fox News angle, you can see what appears to be probably, I don't know, members of the press corps maybe, and they're kneeling off. They would, if you're looking at Marine One, they are kneeling off back behind the tail section, but forward of the rear rotor. But I can see a person in what looks like blue shirt and khakis, and there are other people gaggled together over, if you're looking at the White House, to the left side stairway.
Yeah, underneath the tail of the rotary, the back of the chopper.
And remember, this gives a false perspective, because there's a considerable amount of distance between Marine One and the White House itself.
Well, in a sense, I would think that the 25th the fact that he already delegated that simple phone call to senior citizens, he couldn't handle that. He couldn't do it. He already delegated that to Pence earlier today.
Well, wasn't there a governor's call as well that Pence was on?
Could be. I don't know. I didn't see that part, but...
Broadly speaking, do you think this helps or hurts his support?
Oh, I think he'll have a ton of sympathy. Of course, everybody's all the decent people are saying, you know, tots and prayers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Matt Gaetz is already saying prayers for the first family, and it's like, well, where's the prayers for the 200,000 dead?
Yeah. Right. You exactly.
Know? Yeah.
And here's another thing. Yep. This definitely works to his advantage, because suddenly he gets a free pass out of, I mean, the debates are over.
Yep.
And we're not even going to have the brouhaha and Utah-ha between Mike Pencilneck Geek and Kamala Harris.
Well, I saw
why
that.
Not? They both tested, why not? They both tested negative. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're done too. Yeah, I agree.
Biden should push it. Biden should push it. Well, push the issue.
Fox News was already saying that they're already looking ahead, saying that he needs to rest. And I saw Kilmeade on Fox and Friends talking about this is a time for Trump to learn about his opponent, study tape like it's football Sunday. And they weren't even worried that he was going to be hospitalized or actually have some symptoms worse. So they weren't even thinking like that.
No, because he's indestructible. He's their god emperor.
Mm-hmm. Plus, don't forget what he said at the debate, and I mentioned this Wednesday the front porch. He kept barreling into Biden about how he quote unquote wants to shut the country down. Those words are going to come back to bite him in the ass, because he cannot. No, you cannot shut the country. You're not going to shut the debates down.
On this
Fox News visual, because you see a better view underneath the helicopter, you ought to be able to have a sense of whether he walks to the chopper or is carried or wheeled, like in a wheelchair.
No, because somebody over there on the side has to have a camera, unless they're all staff people.
The person in the khakis with the blue shirt, they look like they're in the position of someone who is holding a camera.
My CNN feed just came out with there will not be a transfer of power.
And you know what? Raw Story just posted a headline, Trump to be quote-unquote medevaced. You know, that in and of itself is a really great point, because the first time that we saw him being transported to Walter Reed, it was in the Escalades there. It was by vehicle, which would take a lot longer.
But right, which was highly unusual.
That was highly unusual, but this is even, sounds to me like it's more urgent, because they're using Marine One. That is basically a medevac.
Yeah, big medevac.
Yeah, big-ass medevac.
They might have to rearrange the deck chairs in there.
I'm just wondering,
is Marine One in any way equipped? for a, quote, medevac, unquote?
I would imagine, and again, sure, speculating, but they're bound to have like a, you know, the chest paddles and, you know, basic life-preserving equipment, sure.
Yeah, rudimentary. Yeah, I can guarantee
they can move the furniture around in that helicopter rather quickly. I mean, it just
and
pulls
doesn't down he, the floor. Doesn't he have 24-hour medical support and there at the White House anyway?
Yeah, it's been pointed out numerous times that that the White House has just about everything there except an MRI and a CT scanner.
Yeah. And they keep saying precautionary measures.
That chopper's been sitting there for the better part of a half hour. Is he pitching a fit? Are they making him presentable? Is he signing the 25th Amendment papers? Could be all three of them.
Scott, they're waiting for dark so nobody can see it.
Christ, it's not going to be sunset in D.C. at this time of year until about 7 o'clock.
Not true. A little bit earlier than that now.
The sun. I'm somewhat slightly south of D.C. Here, the sun sets at 7:04 p.m. this evening.
Oh, okay. Well, I know for here it's 6:31 in Connecticut, so it must be somewhere in between.
Well, the pilots are sitting in their seat again. They're not walking around in the plane inside the copter. Oh, when you were talking about having the job of flying Marine One and Air Force One,
yeah,
you guys know that the pilot for Air Force One is assigned to the president for his full term, and then if he's out, they assign another pilot to the next president.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
sure the same thing happens with Marine One.
It's a prestige duty, not only the pilots of those two aircraft, but also the mechanics at Andrews. They're crackerjack mechanics. Well, you probably know about that, Sparky.
Yeah, back in the day, the program was called Speckled Trout. So, somebody's got a radio on in the background.
Yeah, I hear that.
All right, this is a question. How many Republican senators have tested positive?
Well,
you know, Rand Paul did.
Mike Lee did. Rand Paul a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't believe
Rand Paul did.
Yeah, Rand Paul now refuses to wear a mask, engage in social distance, any of that, because it's not real.
It's an American bomb.
And, of course, that evil little punk, Jim Shorts Jordan, was exposed all over the place and refuses to quarantine.
He's not a senator.
You know, because he's Jim Shorts Jordan.
All right, the reason The reason for my question, we've already had two Republican senators say we're going to vote. We only needed two more. If two more senators test positive for COVID-19, I would hope that somebody would keep them off the Senate floor. In which case, the majority would have switched to the Democrats of those senators who can show up. Would there be a possibility of the 48 Democrats stripping Mitch McConnell of his godlike position and start moving some of these bills that Nancy Pelosi has sent to the Senate and secondarily squash their Supreme Court nomination?
Nah.
That's probably a bridge too far. But what might be a possibility, and let's work through this kind of piece by piece. The confirmation hearings are due to start on October 12th. That's 10 days from today. if quarantine is, and suddenly today I noticed that news stories were saying that quarantine was from 10 to 14 days. Now it's 10 to 14 days. It used to be 14 days. Well, the hearings begin today. Mike Lee is positive.
Yep.
And he'll have to have two negative tests before he can get back to business. He sits on Senate Judiciary. Because remember, he's a constitutional scholar. And the and wait, please. There are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 Republicans, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Democrats. So if Mike Lee is out, and if you can somehow knock out one other Republican on this, and by the way, embattled North Carolina Senator Thom Tillis is also on the committee. But if you could get 10-10, then a 10-10 tie does not advance the nomination.
Yeah.
But,
and remember, Bob, the goddess of irony is a good goddess, and she is also not a one-trick pony. She could be a 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 trick pony before this is over. There's a lot of Republican senators, Bob.
Well, but they can't just be appointed willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, they could, because anything is possible.
What I mean is, you got Mike Lee, and you've got Trump and Rand Paul a while ago. In 10 days, anything can happen in terms of people falling ill.
True enough. True enough.
Now they're saying he's going to be at Walter Reed for several days, whereas it sounded like it was just a few days. Now they've said several days is what I'm seeing in terms of the shift in the reporting.
And a lot and of those think, Republican senators were at the White House when she got introduced.
I don't think that Biden.
Yeah, well, Mike Lee just met with her this week. That stress line is really noisy, Bob.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, this is the situation of the boy who cried wolf far too many times. You know, because Trump lies so much, we don't know what to believe.
Right.
You know, I mean, the hardest evidence right now is the chopper there on the South Lawn. I guess it is. We don't know what to believe, and that's not right that we're put in this position as the American people. That in and of itself is problematic. We have no idea what's going on, and we can't trust what's going on. That's not what I signed up for as a taxpaying citizen of this country.
Well, I believe that he's been exposed to it and is ill. I don't think this is a deal of a kid in the classroom thinking up new excuses why his homework wasn't turned in.
Oh, give me a break, Scott. You're telling me you don't think he's like the boy who cries wolf? Multiple times, the guy's got a rap sheet of lies 10 miles long.
20,000 lies in less than 4 years.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm willing to put money. I'll bet you $20, Darlene, that, or if you want, we can donate it to the Horn, that if I'm wrong.
I think something's wrong. I definitely think something's wrong, but we don't understand the severity. We don't know. We really don't know where we stand. We have to make suppositions. You know, we're being told one thing and we're hearing other things. The fact that, you know, if the symptoms are mild and they're going to conquer this was, I think, one of his last tweets. He couldn't make a phone call. He couldn't get on a phone call with senior citizens today concerning COVID-19. He had to delegate that to Pence. But then we're being told, oh, we're just taking him to Walter Reed for precautionary measures. And we're being given mixed messages. This is unacceptable.
Congratulations. You now know what it felt like to be a citizen of the Soviet Union in the late 70s and early 80s as that parade of ancient fucks came along after Leonid Brezhnev.
Oh, yeah. Chernenkov or...
Antonin Chernenko.
I can't say the word.
Chernenko. They were all fossils. And, you know...
But we're better than this, Bob.
Not anymore, Darlene. Not anymore.
I know, it's being facetious.
Yeah. Dave number 11 sent this along, and this is helpful. From Seth Abram, Yuri Andropov, pick up and drop off.
Great name.
Yeah, pick up and drop off.
Soviet guy.
Yeah. What we know about the president's condition: fatigue, fever. White House has already lied about it repeatedly. His schedule has been canceled. Pelosi contacted to discuss succession protocols. Trump has repeatedly lied about his risk factors. He has at least three risk factors. He also has a cough. He has nasal congestion. Trump received experimental antibody cocktail at White House. All this, plus his situation being implicitly upgraded per the words of a White House official from mild symptoms to a moderate case, is bad. We also know he's being hospitalized at Walter Reed. The number, audacity of the lies that the White House has already told about Trump's condition and what we know it would take for Trump to allow himself to be hospitalized suggests this is bad. 12, he has not been heard from in 16 hours. 13, his doctor has not briefed reporters. 14, his last tweet did not sound like it was written by him, which, if confirmed, could extend the out-of-contact period substantially.
Yep.
Oh, what a justice.
Yep. What a justice. That's right. We're in a situation where... I didn't know about the part that Nancy was contacted concerning succession.
Protocol.
But I'm in your camp, Bob. I want to see him survive this and do a perp walk. He can't get away with this.
And well, so now, okay, this might tell us something. Now I'm monitoring Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, and now they have cut away to a video montage and a chyron that says presidential prognosis. So let's see what's going on at CNN real quick. Now, it's still that same static shot with the chyron that says, there will not be a transfer of power. How can there not be? You know, I find it interesting that we have spent so much time, probably more than most other programs of this sort, analyzing in detail provisions of the 25th Amendment. So what's at play in the 25th Amendment right now are Sections 3 and 4. We've kind of glossed over Section 3 because it was unimaginable that this would ever happen. Whenever the President transmits to the President pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, and until he transmits to them a written declaration to the contrary, such powers and duties shall be discharged by the Vice President as Acting President. That's an official title. Acting President. Well, it seems clear that there is no way under heaven or... because, remember, H.W. Bush didn't have a problem doing this. Reagan didn't, he was so evil that his entire colon was nothing but fucking polyps.
W had a couple of colonoscopies.
Right, and on every occasion they did that written transmission saying, as soon as I'm out from under anesthesia, I'll be president again. This guy can't do that. He's afraid that if he lets go of power, he will never get it back.
They're interviewing Bob Woodward right now.
On CNN, yeah. Okay, let's see what MSNBC's up to.
This is about the stimulus talks.
What's that, Cody?
Does this also halt the stimulus talks after the House passed it?
I think it halts everything for the moment, at least, because somebody has to sign the legislation.
Right.
And this is another aspect of do you think for a minute that they will disclose to the American people that he's on a vent?
God, no. They're going to keep it as quiet and hush-hush as possible, long as possible, until the respirator stops breathing. That's the only time they'll keep us up to date. Either when he walks out of the hospital on his own volition and they have video camera of him giving a fist, or he starts flatlining. That's when we're going to hear.
Billable Rick just sent a note and said, I'm afraid Trump's going to die. Based on the rapidity with which he's developed COVID symptoms, I'm afraid he's going to die in the next 3 to 5 days. Let's not forget that his younger brother died of unspecified causes in New York this summer.
True.
But to return to the analysis, since there's no way he will ever sign off on transferring power under Section 3 of the 25th Amendment, we're back to our old friend, Section 4. And
or such other body as Congress may.
Well, and that body doesn't exist. So now,
exactly.
So now we've got it. We've got a hello constitutional crisis, and we're back in Edith Wilson territory. What happens if the president?
Wasn't there a clause in there about the cabinet?
That's in Section 4, Roger. The cabinet, the vice president, and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro tem of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. The vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office of acting president. Okay? And that's how we wind up. I've said it. We've been in a constitutional crisis since his hand came off the Bible on January 20th, 2017. Now we're in one, but good. Because here's the problem. He won't turn over power under Section 3, and Section 4 requires decisive action by the vice president and the cabinet. A majority thereof. That gang is nothing but a bunch of fucking lick spittles now. And they're scared to death of what will happen to them if they, and you know, Pence, we already know that Pence views Trump as his daddy. And so we've got this perfect storm of, and what I just said, it kicks us back to Edith Wilson. We all know who Edith Wilson was, right?
Yeah.
The wife of Woodrow Wilson, who would not let his own vice president near enough to him to find out how bad off he was. And so for a period of time, Edith Wilson was de facto the president of the United States.
Jesus.
Now.
So it's melanoma?
Yeah, so now imagine melanoma as president of the United States.
And she's got to be furious.
Yeah, and Ivanka's vice president.
Well, and it's not just just melanoma as vice president.
Wait, how did you get to that? What?
Or melanoma as president?
De facto.
Edith Wilson. Edith
Ivanka's
Wilson
vice president.
Wait.
How do we get to that? I mean, I.
Okay. Section
Edith Wilson.
Let me do this again. Section 3 requires affirmative action on the part of the president signing off saying, I can't be president until I'm done being sick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Section 3's out. Section 4 is the one where the vice president and a majority of the cabinet act. Well, the vice president and the majority of the cabinet aren't going to act because they're scared to death of him. Because he is a dictatorial strongman, and they're even more scared of the maggots. Okay?
So you think
Hold on. So if Section 3 isn't available and Section 4 isn't available, we're in a constitutional crisis, and we are right back at Edith Wilson, which is why, in part, this thing was crafted in the first place. Because Edith Wilson refused to let the government make any statements or take any action during the disability of Woodrow Wilson.
Good point. And then didn't Nancy also kind of, wasn't she running things there when Ronnie was...
The 25th was triggered quite effectively, you know, when he was shot and when he was having his polyps out.
Talking about later years, right?
Yes, Chris, I am.
Yeah. She tried to shield the world from finding out that Ronnie's brains had turned to oatmeal.
Yeah, but well, now melanoma's in trouble too.
She can't handle.
She's got it.
The criticism of her Christmas decorations. She's not. She can't handle taking that over.
And that's what I was about to point out. This is the woman. This is the woman who ostensibly would be shielding Trump from. From the Constitution and from law and order. And they're all such a sick bunch of criminal grifters that the only way that anybody dealing with them could ever protect themselves was to record them. So we've got this from July of 2018. Melanoma discussing with her buddy who was recording her sharing her frustrations.
I say I'm complicit. I'm the same like him. I support him. I don't say enough. I don't do enough. I'm working like my ass.
I know.
Christmas stuff that, you know, who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
Yeah, but 100%. You have no choice.
And then I do it, and I say that I'm working on Christmas, planning for the Christmas. And they said, oh, what about the children that they were separated? Give me a break. Where they were saying anything when Obama did that?
I know.
I cannot go. I was trying to get the kid reunited with the mom. I didn't have a chance. Needs to go through the process and through the law.
But here's my thing. Hear what you just said. But instead of that, if you're messaging, you were so loved.
They would not do the story. We put it out. They would not do the story.
You
would not believe it. They would not do the story because they would not do the story because they are against us because they are liberal media. Yeah, if I go to Fox, they will do the story. I don't want to go to Fox.
Yeah. That's the woman that stands between Donald Trump and the 25th Amendment. How's that for sobering up? Who gives a fuck about Christmas? That should probably play. You know, anybody here remember Miracle on, what is it, 40 something? Miracle on
34th Street.
Yeah, Miracle on 34th Street. You remember when the judge is having that in camera conversation with his political fixer buddy, played by Fred Mertz?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was his name, Scott?
William Frawley.
Yeah, William Frawley. And William Frawley says, yeah, you do that, Judge. You declare there's no such thing as Santa Claus. Oh, the children are going to love you. And you know who else is going to love you? The greeting card companies are going to love you. And you know who else beside the greeting card companies are going to love you? Macy's is going to love you. Gimbel's is going to love you. Saks Fifth Avenue is going to love you. Bloomingdale's is going to love you. Everybody's going to love the judge who declared there's no such thing as Santa Claus. Well, this piece of audio ought to be played for every retail CEO in America and say, are you sure you still want to support him? Because this is going to play all over the country. And she, who came from an atheist communist country, remember, just shit all over Christmas. Yeah, you do that, Mel.
Well, it looks like Bill O'Reilly is going to have to bring out his patent helmet, right?
God.
There's another front.
War on Christmas. War on
Christmas. But that may explain the shitty decorations last year.
She really don't care, do you?
She wasn't being best.
She, you know, when people tell you who they are, fucking believe them, okay? But we're in a pickle here. There will not be a transfer of power.
Or as I would put it, we're screwed beyond recognition, Bob.
A note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. Oh my God. I appreciate the focus on the Constitution and the mechanisms that are supposed to be triggered. My problem is, everyone surrounding this man is so incompetent, unstable, or evil. There's no telling what this crowd is capable of. If this doesn't smarten up some chumps, then maybe we collectively deserve what's coming. I'm staying sober this minute. Just this minute. And I know exactly what Matt's talking about. It's been a weird day for me, too. Because this morning, and we talked about this a little bit last night, Scott, you know, it's getting easier, the not smoking. This morning, I was reaching for the fuckers. I was.
I thought about you this morning, too, Bob.
It being Friday and everything, lots of my being really wants to tipple a little tipple after the program. But I can't.
The urge was on a cellular level. I've been there, too.
Yeah, and the urge will not, the urge to smoke, the drinking bone is still connected to the smoking bone.
Yep.
But I gotta.
That will always be true, Bob.
Yeah, I think it probably is, which means I'm probably sober forever. And that puts me back to being Odysseus lashed to the mast going, no, no, really, give me the beeswax. I want the beeswax. I don't want to hear the sirens anymore.
You picked the wrong day to quit sniffing glue, Bob.
Now, this is weird. So this just came in like 1 minute ago from Daily Kos, and the headline reads, Donald Trump, to be airlifted to Walter Reed. For a minute there, I read it and it was like in the past. I thought it was in the past tense. And it's like, OK, then why is the helicopter still sitting there? But the helicopter's still sitting there.
Movement going on under the helicopter.
Yeah, something's going on. Camera person just ran across.
Billable Rick says that helicopter's been on the White House lawn for quite some time. I wonder if it's waiting for nightfall to wheel Trump out of the White House to obscure the ability of cameras to show him on a gurney.
I have a logistical question about the actual sickness, Bob.
Skeeve!
You got a minute? What's up, brother?
Starting up.
No, you're supposed to say blob. Skeeve!
Blob!
Thank you, brother.
What a wild day, huh?
Gotta have a little bit of damn normalcy in all of this madness.
Yeah, we got to, brother. We got to. But from a logistical standpoint, can you really go from shouting and raving to Tuesday to being on a stretcher on Friday? Do you turn that quick?
Yeah,
this thing?
Yeah, you can. And what's more, how do I explain this without sounding like an egomaniac, which I'm not?
Well, no, I know. That's why I'm asking you, because you know your beans on this thing, man.
It takes a quantum of energy to do anything like this. Okay? And it could be that in the course of coming up with the requisite energy for what he did on Tuesday, sapped him because he was reported as being fatigued on Wednesday. and he was reported as being fatigued yesterday when he was spewing viral particles at about 100 people at his filthy little club. So, yeah, it can go that fast. Here's the thing, though. So here's the video from Walter, or the video from Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, now shows Marine One with the rotors spinning.
Yep, I'm watching. It's on MSNBC too. I didn't know if it was a slow descent into sickness, or you just turned. Bam, bam, bam.
Already boarded the helicopter. Doesn't speak to reporters.
I guess it varies from person to person. So it can be a slow descent into sickness in some instances.
So wait, they've already gotten him on. They've already gotten him on the chopper, Sparky.
Yeah,
looks like it. Yeah,
and look, I didn't see any.
CNN's has it.
Boards Marine One doesn't speak CNN to reporters. Does.
Christ.
All right, let me raise the audio on CNN real quick.
Across the South Lawn with a mask on. And as we were waiting for the president, Wolf, our colleague Jim Acosta took a picture of several White House staffers.
Marine One, Jeremy, hold on for a moment. Marine One now taking off, lifting from the South Lawn of the White House to make that brief flight. It'll head north towards Bethesda, Maryland. Very often when a president, and I covered the White House for 7 years, the president will simply have a car, be in the limousine, the presidential limo, and do a motorcade drive. It's not very far over to Bethesda, but right now he's going in Marine One, and you can see the chopper taking off, and will be heading there. You can see it right there. Usually there are at least one other, maybe two other helicopters in the area, other Marine helicopters escorting Marine One, but there you see it going over the nation's capital and heading towards.
Okay, so here's the thing. He made it out under his own steam, wearing a mask, didn't take questions from reporters, and we now have the answer, I think, to why it took so long. How many times on this program have we observed, they're having a hard time getting the dosage right today? They had to jack him up to make it possible for him to walk to the helicopter.
Thorazine drip.
Thorazine dart right in the neck. No, that actually puts you to sleep. No, they had to. They probably had to blowgun a few rails of Adderall right up his nose, or maybe they just mainlined some speed. Now they're using the telephoto lenses to track his entire progress. And they're switching from camera to camera to camera. Apparently, they've set up cameras for the entire flight path, it looks like. And
they have webcams around the city.
And a note coming from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, amphetamines. Another factor I'm thinking, you could be feeling symptomatic, but be chock full of amphetamines, which could keep you going further than you normally would be able to do. Which I would think could drive your immune system response even further down the shitter. Signed, Matt in San Francisco, paren, previous speed freak, close paren. So,
there's that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I had to step away for a little bit, but I'm thinking they were prepping him so he could walk out on his own capacity, that they were pumping him up with something so that he could walk out on his own power.
The chase helicopters are in the air.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
What helicopters?
His escort or chase choppers.
Where are you seeing this on CNN?
Yeah, CNN's got it. Yeah.
MSNBC's got it. It's across the board, Darlene.
Okay, thanks, Steve. I mean, I think I surpassed my live programming with CNN. They limit you if you don't subscribe or whatever.
See, here's the thing. Reporters know more than they tell. I mean, if the if the various books that have been published that contain information that was not reported at the time that it happened doesn't prove that to us, nothing does. So there, I'd say it's a safe bet that there are inside sources who are giving more information about his status than we are being told by the for-profit media. Okay, now CNN has video moments ago showing Trump walking to the helicopter with a mask on, and nobody particular. Well, there's Mark Meadows, that dumb bastard who won't wear a mask. So he gave a lethargic salute to the Marine and climbed aboard. So there was no gurney or anything like that. But I'm betting it took some doing to get him to that point.
I'm curious about the delay between the time the copter landed and the time they took off. I mean, you got to figure he was resisting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big difference. They're wearing masks now. Now it's serious. 210,000 dead Americans, no biggie, who needs a mask? But COVID Caligula gets it, and now it matters. And oh dear God, Greg with an email, the old gray lady in New York Times is reporting that Uncle Joe has pulled all his negative campaign ads and is going positive. Oh, come on, Joe, yeah. All's fair in love, war, and politics, hey?
Yep, I know, I saw that too. And he's saying, I pray Trump makes a full recovery. He's got to knock this shit off and get tough, because this is serious.
And Matt, contrast says Matt in San Francisco, strange how today everyone on the short walk from door to door was masked up this time.
Yeah.
Darlene, Al Jazeera is covering it as well. And I don't think they limit you, so there's that if you want to grab it there.
CNN still has the helicopters in the air, and it looks for all the world like that scene from Apocalypse Now where they're getting ready to turn on the Wagner.
Yeah, but those are not Hueys. Those are not Hueys, Bob.
I didn't say they were Hueys, Sparky.
How can you think that they're not Hueys?
Because it looks like the general shot from the film.
Oh.
I think they should play Comfortably Numb, actually.
I'd be in favor of Send in the Clowns.
Wow. Makes you wonder what's going on through his sick head right now. Is he more worried about his reputation, or is he just fucking sick? He doesn't give a shit, you know?
Well, they say he's going to be there for a few days and he's got a moderate case.
And that he's going to be working from a desk there, they're implying.
Really? Yeah,
that'll be a damn first.
The president will be working from presidential offices at Walter Reed for the next few days. That's what the release said on the New York Times.
Yeah, he's going to be working from a desk at Walter Reed, like I'm going to be signed for a series of adult films. Jesus.
You just had to go there again, didn't you?
Well, I'm sorry, Bob.
Two nights in a row, Scott. And so now the helicopter is, Marine One is landing. It's arrived at Walter Reed. And theoretically, I guess we should be able to see him exit.
The door's on the other side, isn't it?
Well, we've got multiple angles.
I hope.
But it could just be an abundance of caution. I'm sorry to sound so naive, but...
Yeah, that's true, though.
It could be.
It's true. You know, we got to look at all angles.
Well, remember, he is a coward.
Well, again, we don't know for sure. This is the problem. We don't know.
Darlene, what if he what if he didn't? What if they did this because he simply was being non-cooperative inside the White House and was on the verge of killing God knows how many staff?
Your guess is as good as mine, Bob. That's the whole damn point.
Right, we don't know. Ready to blow a gasket.
We have no clue.
Is this makes him look more foolish than he already is? You know. Hey, Joe, where's the biggest mask I've ever seen? Yeah, wonder why, motherfucker. I mean, do you get it now? Finally?
We should all
my language.
No, all this level of
no he does not
fucking get tourists.
Yeah, he does not get it, Steve. He is incapable of getting it.
Yeah, but we should all have this kind of medical care.
And that's why he
Steve
got it.
From George. Yeah, thanks for mentioning. Al Jazeera is doing a good job. I trust them more.
Yeah. Sorry to say, that's a sad state we're in, but yeah.
Exactly. And nothing against Al Jazeera. It's just the state of our.
No, that's good. It's a good news source. It's credible.
Yeah.
And I hope Agent Fred isn't listening. Who knows, man? Jesus.
Yeah, there's a lot of people gathering there at the fence. You know? Are any statements being issued? Like, official statements? I don't know. This is just
bizarro land. I never thought we'd be here 48 hours ago.
He's such a germaphobe in particular. That, you know.
I think his cockiness turned on him, though, Lou. All that getting out there and slurping in everybody's face, and it's never going to get me. And it's, you know, I'm healthy. I eat 30 cheeseburgers a day. And I think all that cockiness finally caught up to him, man.
I know this is really getting ahead of things, but I was thinking, what do you think the right wing anti news apparatus is going to do if shit goes sideways with Trump? Do you think that they would go as far as to spin this as some kind of Antifa BLM assassination?
Oh, I'm sure it's it's already being done.
Place I never thought of, Chris. I was going to say they're going to garner sympathy votes.
I bet they have T-shirts already.
I feel sorry for all these Marines and everybody that has to be around this asshole.
Oh, he just stopped and howdy'd themselves. He just stopped and howdy-dude'd the pilot.
Oh, he did.
Yeah. And now he's walking. He's walking off the helicopter, and I guess getting in a limo, and the limo driver's wearing a mask.
And you don't know if we're being gaslighted 3 days from now. He comes out of this, says, "Oh, there's nothing to it. I told you it was a hoax, big hoax.
I have the best. I have the best genes. I have the best genes. That's how come I just got a little bit sick."
There's Meadows.
There's no Mark, telling how this.
There he is waving.
Or how about this? He gets some of that Trump vodka that's sitting in the warehouse, and they package it up as the vaccine. And he's like, "Look, I took the vaccine, and I'm perfectly fine. I can roll this out, and I saved the day."
You don't know. You know, we've been gaslighted so fucking much. You don't know what's coming down the pipe.
He looked more sluggish than he normally does to me. But they immediately got him into the Escalade there or whatever. The Suburban. For what? To drive him, 2 feet? To the the door.
They're just...
they didn't want to bring the wheelchair out.
They're just going to hook him up to the U-Testum tube tester, make sure he's in working order, and they'll bring him back.
Well, those of us who have seen Idiocracy know what's about to happen. Here, put this one in your nose, and this one in your mouth, and this one in your butt. No, put this one in your nose, and this one in your mouth, and that one in your butt.
They all are in this. Look at the close confines. All of these Secret Service officers with this asshole having to put their lives at risk. There he's waving with that small hand of his. Thanks for tipping me off or reminding me of Al Jazeera, Steve from Georgia. Because it's a great angle, man.
Yeah.
There he goes. I'm sorry, he couldn't walk to the door on his own? You know, again, Hillary... You know, when she collapsed because she was just dehydrated.
Yeah, she's probably got Parkinson's.
Pisses me off.
I sincerely think his tan has worn off.
That's a good point.
Well, they didn't have time to do his makeup.
They didn't have time to spray it on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the cocktail when they spray on the
Do they spray it on or dip him?
And meanwhile, David in South Carolina, David in South Carolina, Stan reminds us, Vlad keeps wishing him well. Wonder why? Yeah.
Shit, if somebody owed me $400 million, I'd wish him well too.
ain't that the truth? Wait a minute.
That was an abundance of caution.
You got a cowbell for that, Roger. So I got a note from Brendan.
Thank you.
I got a note from Brendan. I was trained as an HIV disease specialist, infectious disease physician assistant in Brooklyn in the 90s. Often many people found out that they were infected after a stressful event, including things like sunbathing, which has a profound negative effect on the immune system, though the more mundane emotional and physical stressors... through the more mundane emotional and physical stressors. No surprise that the orange fecal stain got sick soon after the debate. Just the Adderall and learning how to enunciate dim big woids was an enormous stressor. Dim big woids. Yeah, dim big woids. Hey, look, I'm dancing. Thanks, Brendan. And we're halfway through the program now, and a reminder, Joey and Giraffrey put a $25 challenge on the table this evening. It would be great if that was met. And thanks again to Shorty in L.A. for the have a show on me this evening. We're just trying to get a little caught up and take things a little further forward and keep the fundraising going early in the month. I'm sorry, but I think it helps and it's warranted. So if Joey and Giraffe's challenge could be met, we'd only have 145 to go to actually get a little bit ahead. And that would be wonderful. So that's out there. Maybe we can knock some of it out. Matt in San Francisco says, I'm okay with Biden remaining positive. We have enough other people who can attack while he remains above the fold, above the fray. Yeah,
the Lincoln Project do all the dirty work.
Well, I wonder if the Lincoln Project will back off, and I hope the hell they don't.
Yeah, I guess they're showing him walking out. I suppose if, you know, he had put a post that he and his wife were going to get through this together, but I guess she wasn't taken with him.
You know, she has
so
no
she
symptoms.
She must not be as bad.
She has no symptoms, and she doesn't want to... You can almost...
Well, that's not true, Bob. She does have some symptoms. She has, like, a mild headache... And,
yeah. Okay. Okay.
She's
true.
Been,
yeah.
She's congested or cough and a cough.
But she's also she's in better shape and she's got those she's got those new kidneys that were just put in a year or so ago. Above all, when they said Melanoma, you're going to have to quarantine with him. She goes, oh no, yeah. I will not. No, you take him hospital. No, I will not quarantine with Donald. No.
She doesn't have to. The house is big enough, I think, for her to find another room, which she does anyway. They don't sleep together, so from what others.
They need to fumigate the White House now.
Yeah, well, that shouldn't be a problem.
Our White House is going to be a Petri dish. Who'd ever thought of it, man?
Trump and First Lady of Swift recovery. Oh, God.
I took the extra time. Is that it took him time to get his hairdo right.
That's it, Roger. That's it.
The tweet that he just did, and his hair is perfect.
God, that's straight out of Werewolves of London. His hair was perfect.
Well, I mean, seeing him walk from the White House to Marine One, he actually looked pretty solid to me. Who knows? Again, we don't know the truth. We just don't know the truth, and that's the problem.
You were asking about the Lincoln Project. Earlier, I was listening to the Daily Beast podcast, The New Abnormal, which is co-hosted by one of the people behind the Lincoln Project. They will not be napping. They're right on top of it. And they've got spots of various lengths for all occasions and all possibilities. They do very good work, by the way.
Scott, Brother Deacon Asa wanted me to ask you, who's Prince's tiny meat?
That's a great pick in the chat, by the way, Sparky. That's hilarious.
You don't know? Is he setting me up?
He asked me last night on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I answered him.
Well, what's the answer? I'm waiting, man.
I told you. I thought I said it. Princess Tiny Meat.
Yeah, okay. Who is that?
Who is it?
That's Scott Walker's drag name.
Oh.
That's what he asked me.
Scott. All right. Where do you come up with this, man? God, I guess we're all just on information overload.
It'll all be in my book. I've got a question, Bob. And is Rick, Billable Rick, is he on or is he just writing in today?
So far, I've just been getting emails.
I don't know.
Okay,
he's been trying to reload his Skype on his cell phone to get it into work.
Let's say Trump takes a turn for the worse and Pence has to step in. They can't call off the election. I'm sure that on a state-by-state basis, there are certain time requirements for putting a new name on the ballot. Because remember, the election is only 30 days away, essentially.
Well, don't forget the mail-in ballots, Scott. They've already
Pence is on the ballot.
But not for president.
The election's already started.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, when you vote, I voted yesterday. When you vote.
Did you get your ballot already?
Yeah, I got it on the first.
I
filled it out and I mailed it back yesterday.
Oh, Christ. Let me look and see if it showed up.
That ballot track, it was a little off, but it worked.
You might find this interesting.
Sent it in, and then last night I get the notification for ballot tracks. I get a text, I get a voicemail, and I get an email.
Well, probably it's not there today.
So I just got this from Dave number 11. He recorded a message before he left the White House. This is not a joke. This isn't The Onion.
I want to thank everybody for the tremendous support. I'm going to Walter Reed Hospital. I think I'm doing very well, but we're going to make sure that things work out. The First Lady is doing very well. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. I will never forget it. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you from a video standpoint, they don't. They got his hair done. He got his hair did, but he's not orange, and he's got big tired old man bags under his eyes. His cheeks are somewhat sunken, and he just doesn't look good. Of course,
where's that video from?
It's from his Twitter account.
Oh, I'm not on Twitter.
At Real Donald J. Trump. So,
Bob, earlier you were saying that the upcoming debates will not happen. Is that like confirmed information, or you're just conjecturing?
I'm conjecturing.
Okay, all right.
But do you see a way that they do?
I don't know what the timing is between now and then. Isn't it the next one, maybe the middle of the month?
Well, no, the next one is...
The next presidential is within a 14-day window.
No, the next one is Wednesday. It's the brouhaha in Utah-ha, and it's the vice presidential debate.
Yeah, I can see that, but going
and
forward...
And after that is... Ralph sent me the whole skedule last night. There it is.
I think
here's the schedule. October 8 days after 8 days after. In other words, a week from next Thursday is the second presidential debate at the Adrienne Arsht Center for the Performing Arts in Miami, and 7 days after that, the third presidential debate at Belmont University in Nashville.
Well, he's pretty desperate in terms of trying to change whatever's going on, and he's kind of a macho guy. So if he's not Dead.
Well, but hold on.
I think that's
okay. It's okay. 10 to 14 days if you were merely exposed.
Okay.
He's got it.
Okay.
So he's going to have to test negative twice.
Okay.
But you know what? Please, if I can just say this again. And Biden won't do it. He won't do it based on everything we're hearing from him right now. But Biden should turn around and say the debates must go forward because, you know, after all, Trump wouldn't want to shut things down.
Yes.
And I would like to. Right?
Yeah.
He said we can't shut things down. I'm sure that he would agree that the debates should go forward. Hence, I will, after the vice presidential debates, I will be there for the debate.
Fucking push him.
Push him like he does to everybody else. Like he did to Hillary. Like he's done to Joe Biden, saying that, you know, he's not with it. And he's not. Push it till it gives and say, hey, you know, I'm the one who, Biden is the one who is physically fit at this point. And if Trump doesn't show up at the debate, oh, well. It's a Hillary thing.
Well, that would just give Joe Biden the airtime that Trump sucked up back in 2016.
Exactly, Roger. That's the other thing. That's what prompted my thought process on this. He can say, hey, this will give me the chance to actually talk to the American people and present something that is coherent and cogent. Not like this debate.
Being interrupted.
Yeah, it's a town hall debate anyway, so the audience is going to be answering questions.
Exactly. Well,
I can see Joe up there with Clint Eastwood's empty chair. Come on.
Along with what?
Beautiful. Good one, Scott.
About reporters knowing things and not telling us. Here's an update from CNN. It says 1 minute ago, President was spooked after he tested positive for coronavirus. Became increasingly alarmed as he developed symptoms, a source says. So, who knows?
Big baby, fraidy cat, coward. It's okay if 200,000 plus people die in this country, and 1 million test positive.
What did he say, Darlene? It barely affects anybody.
Right.
Yeah, we've got over a million. Well, there's over a million dead worldwide, and more than and about half of them are in three countries: Brazil, India, and the United States.
Yes.
And by the way, here's another point worth considering. Cynthia just wrote in from the Bay Area. I'm just out of the shower after my physical therapy appointment, and don't know if you talked about it. But dollars to donuts, if Trump gets through this with a relatively normal course of the disease, he will come out of it with incapacitating fatigue that will last and last, where he will barely be able to function. That's what happened to my niece, who is in her 40s. She could barely function at all, though I trust she's getting better now some 2 months later. Oh, and one more thing. Trump brings out the worst in me, as I despise him so much, but I guess I shouldn't feel so bad about that. He brings out the worst in everyone.
Awesome points, Cynthia. Awesome points. She's right, because that's what I'm thinking is the neurological damage from somebody who is already compromised neurologically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard how flat his voice was. Billable Rick just said, the debates, they ain't happening, in my opinion. Too much Rona exposure for Pence, and who knows how Trump's health status will be. See, that's the thing. We're all just assuming he's going to be okay, and then, boom, right out the door, he's over it. But that ain't the way the Rona works.
Yep. Cynthia's right.
And his comorbidities are significant.
There are people in New York half his age who 6 months later are still debilitated. Mm-hmm. Young people.
That's right. Yeah. We have to rely on the Fourth Estate to push the issue and start asking questions, because now we're in a position as American citizens of really and truly not knowing what the fuck's going on in terms of who's really in charge. This is like constitutional crisis on steroids. We've been in the constitutional crisis Now it's like it just keeps getting, again, Trump and his ability to sow chaos.
Maybe he'll say would have won, but for the coronavirus, walk away.
We're in a mess of out of this world proportions at this point. It just keeps getting worse and worse.
He can't just walk away based on this COVID-19 number. He knows if he walks away, he's still got to face SDNY. And whether or not Pence would pardon him if he walks away, resigns for conditions of health, and Pence gives him a pardon for the federals, he's still facing the state charges, and he's still facing the $400 million he owes in the next 3-4 years. He can't walk away. He knows where the skeletons are buried. They're his skeleton, but he knows what in a precarious situation he is, and the only thing he can hope to do is to remain president, because I don't think the Russian bankers would attempt to foreclose on his properties. I think they'd use it as leverage in national security to get him to fully withdraw from NATO, fully withdraw from Southeast Asia, and let the Russian oligarchs do whatever the fuck they want.
And get Russia get back in the G8, on. Roger, get Russia back in the G8. They really want that.
Yeah.
In the worst way.
All of that.
So what does everyone think about what this is, what this means for the election? I mean, I don't feel it should halt, because that's exactly what Trump wants.
No, you can't. You can't halt the election. That's hardwired into the Constitution.
But the problem is that already we've got Biden saying, you know, I pray for his full recovery, and it's just I'm not confident. I don't think he should back down. Like maybe he's doing the right thing right now, saying I pray for his full recovery. You know, pulling down the negative ads. This is all, trying to be appropriate. But I still think he needs to take a hard line on pushing this thing forward with the debates and not letting it affect Kamala and Pence. There are other ways to do that vice presidential debate, which I think is important that it go through.
Well, more important now than ever, because let's say Trump is incapacitated or not very well physically.
Well, he's
temporarily. You mean
as compared to what he is now?
Well, you get what I mean. I mean, the election is only a month away. So on Wednesday, is it Wednesday night, is the vice presidential debate? Harris and Pence owe it to the country to keep the date.
Yeah, but I think one of the things we're missing here is that these things were planned with live audiences. And there are certain liabilities that attach. Now, for instance, if you went to Trump's super spreader event in Minnesota a couple of days ago, like I said, the Republicans who were LARPing and lollygagging and smollicking and grabulating all over him are now running around trying to get tested. Well, in order to do that, they had to sign a release saying, I promise that I will never, ever, ever, ever sue the Trump campaign if I happen to get the Rona out of all of this. Well, the networks and the Presidential Debate Commission can't necessarily do something like that. So if you're going to have a live audience, you also have to remember that that requires a shit ton of staff. It's not just Kamala Harris and Mike Pencilneck Geek squaring off under the baleful gaze of Mother. There's a hell of a lot of other people involved. The broadcast people, the sound engineers, the gaffers, the best boy, the electricians, the lighting techs, the producers, the directors, the front of house folks. I mean, the camera people. And how do you look at them and say, well, you know, the show must go on? I don't know how you do
that.
Well,
you do what the networks have been doing, the news networks, ever since COVID struck. The put them in electronic boxes. You know, put them on Skype or Zoom. How many moderators are there? Is it a panel or is it just one person?
It's just one person.
Well,
I mean, maybe you could do it that way.
Well, that's what I mean. You got to be creative. I mean, if you want to.
Well, the news stations have been doing Zoom for months.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Right, but I mean, the format that it's presently set in is not doable. I think it would be grossly negligent to try to do it the way it was set up. Let me check here. Again, University of Utah in Salt Lake City. And moderated by Republican Susan Page from USA Today. No, it's a debate.
Well, certainly they can manage electronic boxes via Zoom or Skype or something. Jesus, I mean,
if both campaigns consent to it.
And again,
you need to get consent to that kind of stuff and be the one, the country must progress no matter what, and let Trump be the one that defaults and chickens out.
But that's fine. That's 5 days from now, and conceivably the debate would be taking place with poor Donald Trump sitting there in his hotel room. And we don't want to subject him to any unnecessary stress.
Well, watch cartoons.
You're talking about the presidential. I'm talking presidential.
No, I'm talking about having the vice presidential debate 5 days from now, Roger.
Yeah. The
and
show
poor
must
Donald
go on.
Tr- and
the country
poor,
is better than anybody
poor,
getting sick.
And poor,
we're
do-
do
and
it.
Poor
and
Donald
do
Trump
it electronically
sitting
electronically to keep everybody safe.
And poor Donald Trump having to sit there in Walter Reed and be stressed out by watching the debate. I mean,
well, they would be stressed out sitting in the White House if he hadn't become COVID-19 positive.
Sure.
Kamala Harris is going to wipe the goddamn floor with
but
Mike
the
Pence.
But the COVID-19 aspect changes everything.
Well, give him the stress and let him croak. Fuck him.
Well, that's us. But that's not that. And there's another thing to take into account here. We've been warned all along how violent these maggot white supremacist groups are, and they've proven it to us. If something happens to Nitwit Nero, do they lose their shit and run into the streets and start killing people?
Well, hopefully the blue line would protect the people.
I can see Trump using this as an excuse as to why he lost and maybe backing away from all the legal threats he's made. That's my hope.
Well, I think it would be nice if the 25th Amendment could do the 25th Amendment's job. But you've got lickspittles who won't use Section 4. Because that begins with Mike Pence. Mike Pence has to pull the cabinet together and get half of them to vote with him to write the letter to the Speaker pro tem and the Speaker of the House, or the President pro tem and the Speaker of the House. And that is that's a level of spine that Mike Pencilneck Geek doesn't have, and the gang of toadies and lickspittles don't have.
I mentioned just a couple of other things that happened today real quick.
Yeah.
Really quick. Breonna Taylor.
The grand jury stuff.
The grand jury. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the grand jury stuff. I'm glad you brought it up because I'd been meaning to bring it up.
So the officers are claiming that they were ambushed and that they were acting in good faith and that it was a no-knock they had approved a no-knock warrant for her apartment. But they never, I guess they never really searched her apartment. So they were saying they were ambushed.
But what's fascinating out of all of this, Darlene, if I could just jump in, what's fascinating out of all this, though, is it began with a grand juror saying this thing was dirt. This grand jury process was dirty from jump. Because the grand jurors say they were never given an opportunity to indict the little fuckers. They weren't even told they could do that. And so, lo and behold, Attorney General Cameron, the maggot, was actually in there trying to pull a ham sandwich, trying to lead the grand jury by the nose and not giving them the necessary information that they needed to fully... Because a grand jury, remember, is an investigatory body. They're not there just to be told what to do. And Daniel Cameron did not give them any opportunity to do anything but what the results were.
Well, if the judge had approved a no-knock warrant, why did they knock? We knocked at the door, said police, waited 10, 15 seconds, knocked again, and then they announced themselves. Probably if they had actually just broken in, she might be alive. I don't know. I find it, this doesn't make any, this isn't adding up. And they they did it at midnight, apparently. So they're claiming that they were ambushed. They went in with the preconceived notion that I guess Brianna and her boyfriend were lying in wait for them. How can that be?
It's complete horseshit.
The problem I've got, and this is from what I've gathered, they were at the wrong house,
yep,
the wrong address.
Looking for a guy who was already in custody.
The male that was involved, Brianna's boyfriend, was a licensed gun owner with a licensed gun who may or may not have been involved in illegal activity. He is awakened or was still awake very early in the morning or midnight to somebody battering his door, and the only person who heard them announce was somebody that was on a shift change kind of number. He was the only person that heard him. Everybody else in the neighborhood did not hear them announce themselves. Somebody batters down his door. He fires a warning shot up high, does not hit any of the officers, and the officers then assume that they are under attack and unload their weapons into the apartment and the adjacent apartment. Now, if Stand Your Ground has any validity, and Trayvon Martin has a little bit not to say about that, a man in his own house making a shot to a group of cops, which immediately allows them to respond with unlimited firepower, is a flaw in our system. So they did not feel attacked until the shot came. The shot came because they were at the wrong fucking house at the wrong time and deserve anything they got because they were in the wrong. And the grand jury was not allowed to look at that information by the attorney general of the state that presented the case to the grand jury.
Did they interview the neighbors? Because they said they knocked on the door, waited, I don't know, 10 or 15 seconds, knocked again. You know, and we don't know the layout of these apartments. The bedrooms could be at the, you know, very far away from the door. We don't know. But they're claiming that the police, they are claiming that neighbors actually came out and standing in the hallway and looking at them. That because, you know, supposedly the apartment neighbors were awoken and were looking in the hallway as to what was going on, that somehow Brianna and her boyfriend should have been too. That's just a crock of shit.
They were awakened by the gunfire. Now, this is from what I've read. I wasn't there, so I can't vouch for it as a personal witness. But the neighbors that they interviewed, the Associated Apartment neighbors, heard absolutely nothing until the gunfire erupted. The only person who heard them theoretically announce themselves as police, which I don't know why they did if it was a no-knock warrant, was somebody who was awake and out and about at the time. The rest of the people who were in their apartments heard nothing until the commotion started.
That's correct not what I'm not going to correct you, but USA Today, just very quickly, Bob, when the officers claimed that they were ambushed, they said that the officers knocked on Taylor's door three times, waiting 10 to 15 seconds between knocks before deciding to bust down her door. Officers yelled police on the first two knocks and police search warrant on the third knock. On the first or second knock, he added, upstairs, neighbors came into a hallway and asked what was going on. Hell, the neighbors knew. In my opinion, we were ambushed. Hoover, which I guess he was one of the officers, said, quote, they knew we were there. Hell, the neighbors knew we were there upstairs. They were coming out to see. Unquote. And this was before the shots were fired, it looks like. So okay. This was when they were breaking in.
So
this isn't adding up.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't add up. And I'm wondering how a single shot from a handgun constitutes an ambush. One. Two, the right of, and I mentioned this a week or more ago when the story broke, the right of self-defense is an inviolate right that goes way back into the old English common law. What we're finding out is that you have, and you know, the National Ruble Association, Hammer, that's why you need a gun. You got a right to self-defense. But you do not have a right to self-defense if you are a person of color and you are trying to defend yourselves against cops performing an illegal or, at the very least, grossly negligent action. That's the upshot of this. Now, what happened in the grand jury, you got to remember, the judge said, yeah, I agree with the grand juror. The information needs to be let out. Daniel Cameron ran to the court and said, oh, no, you can't do that. I got to have time to redact all the sensitive names and information so that we can protect the people. And so he got until today to tidy up the record. And so, presumably, the names of the people who said things had a nice black line drawn through the transcript. And where's the body cam footage? Was the body cam footage shown to the grand jurors? How could the grand jurors view the body cam footage and find no criminal action on the part of those cops? It's virtually impossible.
Did Brianna ever wake up, or was it her boyfriend?
The boyfriend.
I mean, her boyfriend obviously was on alert, but did she ever actually wake up, or was
they
she just
murdered her in her bed? It was,
no, I know that.
No, it was stray bullets. They just started shooting.
Ugh.
As Flavio points out, the grand jury wasn't even told about Breonna Taylor. It was all about whether they were justified in unleashing a hail of bullets based on one shot. And what grand jury properly instructed and properly informed of the facts would find non-criminal conduct of police bursting through in the dark and still of the night? I mean, just because you say, just because, I mean, these are narcotic squad officers, And the reality is, just because you say you're the police doesn't mean you're the police.
That's a great point. They were judge, jury, and executioner.
Yeah,
in mere seconds.
If this happened in El Salvador, we would call them a death squad.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
The other thing that happened today, just really quick, was the House did a bunch of resolutions that all seemed very connected. I was able to catch bits and pieces of it, but they started with House Resolution. I think it was 1164. It was to consent for medical protocols. And that was what was happening in the concentration camps with women being partially or fully having their uteruses removed. The immigrant women. Then the next step they took was House Resolution 1154, which is to condemn QAnon, which, you know, also was a connect. Everything seemed very connected with the resolutions that they were putting forward today, with QAnon and their conspiracy theories, you know, including sex trafficking, all the conspiracy theories. And then I think the other resolution was October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, it's always in October. But you had men getting up there, speaking out about how, you know, domestic violence is extremely chronic in this country and how many women die every month at the hands of their abusers, you know, being killed at the hands of their abusers. So it was an interesting line of what they were doing. And of course, you had a few Republicans that were countering all of this stuff, especially on the QAnon. The Texas representative was the one that took the lead on the domestic violence, and he had another representative. These were the who was a former he was once a Republican and was a cop, and you know, also spoke out against how horrific domestic violence is and the killings and what it does to the family structure. So I just wanted to point that. I thought if anyone can watch that on C-SPAN in the House today, I would recommend it. I think the Democrats did a terrific job putting through these resolutions in like consecutive order, in a line where they all really, there was a theme, and it all connected. So that was just another thing that happened today, in the undercurrents with you know, Trump's and Melania's COVID-19 thing being the the overriding story. But there were some important things happening in the House today, I thought.
Yeah, they also passed another rescue package, too, for COVID that you're not going to hear much about. They trimmed $1 trillion off of it. Yeah, you're not going to hear anything about it. It would expand the unemployment for $600 for, I think, 6 months out, and everybody, every family would get another $2,400 to spend, and a lot of good things going on, but we're not going to hear about it. And Mitch, I think, said, I don't know what he said, but it was very snarky, like, forget it, I'm not even going to pick it up.
It's dead on arrival.
What did he say, Bob?
I don't know that he said that, but he said it's dead on arrival. I'm just going. I'm going to put it in that pool of blood and dust on my desk where I put everything else them Democrats done sent me.
How the hell is he ahead in the polls, man? What is he doing for these Kentuckians? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't get it.
Must be gerrymandered. Maybe could that be it? I don't know.
He ain't ahead by much, but he is ahead.
Hey, Bob, just very quickly, when I called you Tuesday, and I was telling you about the maple trees, just very quickly, and I mentioned that my neighbor's maple tree, they have a couple of them that are really beautiful, and one of the maple tree's boughs collapsed just in the aftermath of Storm Isaias. Well, 10 hours after I spoke with you, the entire maple tree collapsed.
Damn.
We had a very fast moving violent storm that moved through Connecticut in the early morning hours on Wednesday after I was speaking with you on Tuesday, and it dumped about 3 inches of rain in a short few hours, but high winds anywhere from 50 mile an hour gusts, 40 mile an hour winds, and the next morning the entire tree had just completely disintegrated. So I just wanted to just do a quick follow-up on that. I thought, wow, we had just been talking about that 10 hours before. So yeah, so there you go. Something's happened with the maple tree, all the trees here in Connecticut, the maple trees, spruce trees, and everything else. So I just wanted to give you a quick update on that.
I hate to hear that. I do.
Me too.
Good evening. Sorry.
Hey, good evening, Steve. Let me put in a quick thank you to Cynthia out in the Bay Area. That leaves $5 to go on Giraffe and Joey's Factor Out Trump Challenge. $5 to go on that, and that would get us down to 145, and we could be done with Monday, get a little ahead of the game, which would be mighty helpful. Just a quick note, Brother Deacon Asa seems to be on the same page with me. If this thing kills Trump, the maggots will blame it on the left and start shooting. On the other hand, Les points out, this bastard's going to get away with it, all those crimes, and not a day in jail. Well, I want the evil bastard to get well, and I want him to be beaten in November, and then I want him prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And thank you for Jeremy just finished off. Jeremy in Vermont just finished off Joey and Giraffe's Factor Out Trump Challenge. Thank you. Flavio just said, now do you get why I find the grand jury highly undemocratic and suspicious? I like things done out in the open, except maybe voting. The ballot must be secret, but that's it. Transparency, sunlight. Yeah, I do. And these are, but the thing is, these are abuses of the grand jury system. Seldom do you investigate a crime in public, because that invites the person being investigated to screw with the process. There's a reason we don't invite the defense into the grand jury, because the nature of the question they're looking into is not one that calls for a defense. It is merely a question of, is it more likely than not that a crime was committed? And if that is answered yes by a mere 0.0001 majority, 50.001%, then the next question is asked, and is it more likely than not, and that's all it is, more likely than not, that the people being investigated are the ones who committed the crime. Now, you can't, I don't know how you can do that with an audience. In this country? Are you kidding me? No way. Just no way. So it's not about ditching the idea, it's about making sure the idea is run appropriately and fairly. Jimmy in the Great Northwest, Chinless Mitch's response to the relief bill was, "Good luck, smart-ass little prick." And
hey, Bob.
Yeah,
thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah, just one thing, Steve. That's okay. I just wanted to get us a little giggle in, because we're badly in need of one of those. Agnes sent something to me not long back, and this is pretty damn rich. Let me see if I can. No, that's not it. Okay, I got to find the, because I can't play it through the channel that we're on now. Oh, we'll save it for Monday, because it'll be funny Monday too. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
I also want to say something about the grand jury being secret. I think it's actually a protection for the accused, because let's be honest here. There are certain crimes that once a person is accused of it, their guilt, that suspicion would hang over them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, the charge is the conviction.
Right. I mean, imagine you're charged with molesting children, and they go to the or they want to, and there's a and the cameras are in the grand jury, and all of the evidence says this is just it didn't happen. And if you recall, what was the back in the, I believe it was the 80s, there was that that daycare. I don't remember where it was.
The McMartin.
McMartin.
The McMartin.
Yes.
McMartin in California. Yeah.
And that was, and all of them, they were found guilty, but they were exonerated. But it doesn't matter because, you know, as a matter of reality, you know, people that they were tarred and feathered with that for the rest of their lives. So as long once you're accused of something, you know, that I see it as a, I understand what Flavio's saying in terms of transparency, but I know if I were charged with something and I didn't think I was guilty and I went to the grand jury and they said, we're going to charge you with this. And they ended up not charging me. I wouldn't want the fact that I got charged public record.
No, and in fact,
I agree with that.
Yeah, and in fact, if you go to the grand jury, and the grand jury returns a no true bill, that's not reported publicly,
and it shouldn't be.
And I agree with that, Steve and Bob. But what were the protections for Breonna Taylor, who was innocently sleeping in her bed?
What
protections were there for her?
But that's a different. That's a different.
That
issue.
Is. That's because.
No, it's not.
That is because
is
the
different.
That's because the process is corrupted, Darlene.
Yeah.
Exactly, because they were judge, jury, and executioner.
But that
the
has
moment
nothing to do with grand jury.
Busted into that. Well, I mean, in this case it did because they're protecting the very individuals
that has
committed.
No, I disagree, Darlene. That has to do with the corrupt attorney general. That does not. And the fact that the grand jury went to the judge and said, no, 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 this information has to come out because it was a corrupted process by the attorney general. Even the grand jurors agree, or at least one of them said, you know, this was fixed.
But how do you protect somebody like a Breonna Taylor who is lying in her bed innocently from a what they
you make it so
say, oh,
that the cops don't do that? The grand jury couldn't. There was no way the grand jury could resurrect her. You know, that's one of the woeful failings of the law. The law acknowledges that it is inadequate to the task that it is given. No one injured by a defective product, no one injured by a bad medication or a butcher doctor can ever be made whole. The law says we're going to try, you know, all we can do is give you money in the case of a civil suit. I mean, I'm so old, I remember.
On an associated topic.
I'm so old,
on
I remember.
On an associated topic, let me interrupt you for just a second. On an associated topic, a school bus driver in the state of California was in Nevada, got pulled over for a driving under the influence, went to court, beat it, okay, exonerated the entire crime, came back to California, come September, it happened during the summer, come September, went back to work and was told his school bus driver certificate had been pulled by the highway patrol, took it to court, and was informed that they were no longer above suspicion. And in order to drive a school bus in California, one must be above suspicion of driving under the influence or above suspicion in any kind of child pornography, molestation, abuse, any kind of thing. You must be above suspicion. So it's already in existence that there are some things that simply the mere arrest, even though you are totally exonerated down the road, you are still punished for the act that you may or may not have committed because you were accused of it. And that was years ago, and things haven't changed.
Hey, Bob, do you think
I'm sure they're worse.
The fact that Breonna Taylor's family got some money from the... Didn't her family get...
$12 million.
Do you think that that factored into the grand jury's decision?
I don't. They would have been instructed not to let anything outside the grand jury room influence their decisions, I presume.
Right.
And I can't imagine... Yeah. Well, the only way it could have is if Daniel Cameron, who is as corrupt as crooked as a dog's hind leg, if he'd gone in there and told them that. So I don't see how that played into it. I would be surprised if it did. They were just led to a fixed conclusion. It's kind of like going way back to the run up to the Iraq War when the Downing Street memo said the evidence is being fixed to the purpose. Remember? Those are called ends based decisions where the ends justify the mean. Yeah, you have a conclusion you want to reach and then you fix everything to get to that conclusion. In 2000,
what was the phrase they used in that? It was fixed around the.
Yeah. Let's see.
By the way, I wanted to.
Breaking news: 3 White House reporters have the coronavirus.
Yeah, that was. I mentioned that at the very top of the program.
He's a super spreader, there, Sparky. Yep, Trump is a super spreader, and that in and of himself.
The intelligence. Here it is: the intelligence and facts were being fixed by the U.S. around the policy. The intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, and I do have one little request to make of the community. And if you'll go to my Facebook page, you'll find the link if you scroll down a ways. There's a publication called West Virginia Living, and there's a little bit of time left on this. Every year they do their Best of West Virginia thing. And lo and behold, back a month and a half ago, I became a finalist for the best media personality in West Virginia, which is kind of cool. And that voting is going on now, and I should have mentioned it before now. But if you go to WestVirginiaLiving.com or go to my Facebook page, or for that matter, my good friend Lewis Reinhardt's Facebook page, you'll find the link where you can go and sort down until you get to Best Media Personality in West Virginia. And if everybody would go and do that, I mean, it doesn't come with a cash prize or a certificate. I don't know, maybe it comes with a certificate suitable for framing. I'm not sure about the secret decoder ring or a compass in the stock. But it would be really neat. And you can vote every day that remains in the competition. So if folks would do that, that would be really, really helpful, and it would be a lot of fun. Because I'm the only non-corporate media personality out there.
It would be a boon for the horn too.
Yeah, it would be.
Speaking of which, I want to bring something up, and if somebody brought this up, I apologize if I was late because I was meeting with somebody. I wonder if I'm the only one who's actually thought this. I've been thinking about this the past couple of weeks about fundraising and the fundraising goal and all that stuff. And I remember when I first started listening, I believe the fundraising was $150 a night, and that was 8 years ago. And then it went up to $200 shortly thereafter, and it's been that way for probably going on six or seven years. And it occurs to me that, you know, given that it's been that long and it's been almost no increase over that time, you know, I wonder if anybody's thought about the notion of, you know, us, you know, as things get more expensive, and, you know, we've talked about or heard tell about making some improvements, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If we might not want to think about increasing the daily fundraising goal. I don't know if I'm the only one thinking about it. It was something that I actually been thinking about for a couple of weeks.
I don't think it's been mentioned in this conversation or generally on air, but I know there are a couple of people who have written to me about that on a number of occasions. But you know,
I'm throwing it out there because look, it's been where it is for a long time, and you know, I know what inflation is, and I know what you know, what it's been for a while, and it just strikes me that, you know, it's time to up it.
And Bob, did you ever, that's a great point, Steve, but Bob, did you ever ask the contributor who was going to match the new subscribers if he would also match subscribers that are willing to current subscription?
I mentioned it, I assumed Tony would get back with me, but I have not heard from Tony on that.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought maybe that it was my my fault that I did not, you know, hear it or okay. So I would like to offer that out because I'm certainly willing to increase my subscription another $10. You know, if Tony's willing to match that as part of his, you know, new subscriber thing, I think that's a nice angle on it that either, you know, you're a new subscriber or you're willing to increase your subscription by whatever amount. So I'll throw that out there again. He's willing to match that too. Okay.
Well, I just wanted to throw it out there. It's something I've been thinking about for a while. And, you know, I also want to talk about something else. And again, I don't know if anybody mentioned this earlier because I was late. You remember the drug that they're feeding Trump from Regeneron?
Well, it's right? not. It's not remdesivir.
It's a cocktail. Yeah, it's a two-drug cocktail.
It's a polyclonal cocktail. Is the word?
No, I know. Yeah. No, I have my old roommate was a scientist at Regeneron, and he's back in. He moved back to Boulder to get his PhD at University of Colorado Boulder. It's so funny. His name was Mark. Mark was a total nerd. I mean, when I first met him, he was like one of these guys. He did skydiving. This isn't the nerd in him. Skydiving, and he went spelunking in these freaking caves and shit. I don't know how he did it because it's all this croak. This it's like crawling through a MRI tube for miles and miles.
That doesn't sound nerdy to me.
Oh no, I mean, yeah. So let me step back. So he did all this stuff. Then I came to find out that he was at Regeneron, and he did research, and he only had a bachelor's degree at the time. But he was really – so I found he was, like, really smart, like off-the-charts, nerdy, smart, who also liked to do weird stuff. And I texted – he's back in Colorado getting his PhD in chemistry, and I texted him. I said, what is this all about? And here's how he described it to me. Because it's not a vaccine, obviously, because you've
no,
only
it's
a, got
it's
it.
No, it's an antiviral.
But it's kind of the way he described it seemed rather novel to me. It essentially is this. What the drug or drugs or whatever, it actually is antibodies. So it's like you're taking antibodies by drug. And what it essentially does is it suppresses the virus to assist in helping the person get over it. And he said, I guess the hope or what they think might happen then is that it causes, and the way he termed it was natural immunity. So you don't need a vaccine to then have immunity after you recover from
it. You're trying to kick start the body's own immune response.
Yeah.
And you as you said, you were a little late to the game this evening. Early on this evening when I was talking, when I mentioned it, Tom in Smoky San Rafael jumped in and said, Yeah, that's what they gave my buddy, whose ashes are now down at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean.
Well, the headline in the New York Times says experimental care.
Yeah, I mean it is a new drug. Mark said, I think he said they hadn't. It's still in some testing, but it apparently has been very promising. I just want to give an explanation because you know we do not cure viruses. Well, we do not kill viruses because viruses don't live, are not living, number one. And number two, we don't cure viruses. There's not a viral any ailment that a virus causes, we can't cure any of them. From a cold to AIDS to any of that.
Right.
We can inoculate through vaccine prior to infection, but we cannot cure. So I just wanted to.
So if this is not, I don't understand medicine too much, but if this is not a vaccine, what do they call it?
It's an antiviral. It's a therapy. It's an antiviral.
Yeah.
Therapy. A vaccine is something that prevents you from getting it in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
This is a therapy. This is Tamiflu. Okay, that's an anti-flu viral. After you've already gotten the flu, you take Tamiflu, and it takes a few days off the course of the disease.
It assists your natural defenses, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the thing is,
it's much the same as the AIDS drugs.
Yeah, this Regeneron thing is not fully tested. It hasn't been through final stage mass testing. They gave it to him out of frankly, I would guess you'd call it a sense of fucking panic.
Yeah, desperation.
Yeah, which means that it's either the president's life must be preserved but how do you know that the risks are not greater than the potential benefits?
Well, that's kind of where I was going. I mean, if they're throwing everything at it, if they've jumped three moves ahead to this not fully certified, if that's the right word, technique, then it makes me wonder, is he worse off than anybody is letting on?
I just thought of that, Scott. When I talked to Mark about this, the first thing that went through my mind was, ooh, that kind of shoots my "I don't think he's got it" theory. But I think there was probably informed consent. They probably told him.
Yeah.
You know, to the extent that he understood, I can hear it. Donald have virus. Drug.
Well, if
to
well,
help
you know,
Donald.
Go ahead and give me your little drug. I'm going to get that. I'm going to beat this because I've got great genes.
Well, if he can tell the generals how to do military stuff, if he can tell the generals how to do military stuff, he can certainly tell the doctors.
And apparently, James in Illinois says, in this case, this stuff is designed to block the coronavirus from attaching to lung tissue.
Hey guys, how about this? What if, because I don't know if anyone's seen headlines that Trump really wanted Ivanka a running mate. What if he does an RBG? He's on his deathbed, we'll just say, let's just theoretically, and he says, I want Ivanka to replace me as president, and in this election that's coming up. Pence still remains as VP. Because I cannot see him ever permitting or standing for Pence to become president over him. But his precious daughter? Oh, yeah.
How old is she?
Well, again, that goes
old
back
enough.
To the business of the balance.
She's old enough.
But no, wait, please wait. If he was to shuffle off this mortal coil, the right to fill the ballot would devolve upon the Republican National Committee. It wouldn't be a matter of his, dying wish or any. I mean, maybe they could take that into consideration, but they would be the ones who filled the ballot positions, the RNC. By the way, Ronna Romney McDaniel tested positive today, so Ronna has the Rona.
And the RNC chairwoman also had tested positive for
Ronna Romney McDaniel is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you know what? I don't trust any of that. I can say, hey, I've tested positive. How are you going to really tell me I did or I didn't? How do you really know when it comes to Republicans? I'm sorry, that's just where I'm at with it.
Well,
they did.
I wasn't quite finished with my question. Yes, I understand that the RNC would have some say into who they want to be on the ballot, but each state has specific rules about adjustments or additions or deletions. How many times have you heard cases of a candidate who dies before Election Day, but outside of the time limit, and you have people voting for a dead person? I just don't understand how a vote...
Sometimes the dead person wins, Scott. I've heard of that, too.
Well, that, too. But I don't understand. See, if it had been 6 months ago, fine. Each state could figure out what they're going to do with guidance from the RNC.
Everybody's ballots are already printed, and they've already been mailing them out.
So you're saying, Bob, that
people
there's a
have already voted. How can they change who's on the ballot?
So there's a stop.
Yeah, you'd be well. You'd,
with the
at
RNC
that point, at that point, at that point in time, you're stuck. you're stuck with her, or stuck with him, and if he shuffles off this mortal coil, presumably whoever Pence would then be running for election as president.
And
as a write-in candidate?
No, it would.
Oh,
just,
he's on the ballot already.
Trump and Pence are on the ballot.
But what if Trump? Because you said it, Bob. You said it. You said that Pence looks to Trump as his father, as his daddy. If Trump looks to him and says, "I want you to remain as VP, but I want Ivanka."
He can't override the 25th Amendment. If Jesus Christ is standing by his bed, he can't override the 25th Amendment.
But they'll turn around and say, well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not have any standing or right to turn around and say, you know, it's my fervent wish that
she had every right in the world to say that. It's just a dying declaration. And that would be the same thing. That would be the same thing with Trump. But there is an amendment. There is a portion of the Constitution that speaks directly to the issue that cannot be overridden. Okay.
But like George W. Bush said, the Constitution's just a piece of paper.
Well, we know what an idiot. We know what an idiot he was. Section one says. In the case of the removal of the president from office or of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. Not may, shall.
When you go to vote, you are not voting for Donald Trump or Mike Pence.
I mean, Bob's
you're voting for a slate of electors.
Sure, but if
I got
he,
my lightsaber.
If he dies in office before or after the election, Mike Pence becomes president. And this is significant because Section 1 says becomes president, whereas if you go to Section 3, the vice president as acting president. Section 4, acting president. And that's actually a significant, it's freighted with meaning because... During the time in which the succession was not fully, clearly constitutionally spelled out, there was an open debate as to whether the vice president ascending to the office was actually president or was acting president. Part of the purpose of the 25th Amendment is to establish what under what circumstances the vice president is acting president, versus what circumstances in which he is president. So, for instance, when Nixon resigned, Section 1 was triggered, even though it says, because it says, and this was all ratified in 1967, in case of the removal of the president from office or of his death or resignation, the vice president shall become president. So if he kicks off before the election, Mike Pence becomes president. And I think I know where you're going, Roger. The ballot doesn't change because the electors don't change. But there's no way for Donnie to look up from his bed and say, I see the angels flurrying around above my head. I want Ivanka to be president. It is functionally impossible. Does that work?
We're talking about Trump.
Doesn't matter.
Works for me.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, I would want it to be what you're saying, Bob. And it is. I mean, you know, but this is a bunch of grifters that don't follow the rules and the laws, so to speak.
Right, but the president would then have to be sworn into office. And it would be unlikely to be done. No. James in Illinois reminds us,
after Election Day,
I think everything
still becomes president till January 20th.
Yeah.
Well, I played a Beatles record backwards once, and I heard "Swear Me In, Dead Man." So,
James in Illinois reminds us: Mel Carnahan, former governor of Missouri, was running for senator, and he beat his Republican opponent, and the dead guy won, and his wife Jean Carnahan became the senator.
That's because the governor appointed her, right?
Right, the governor selected her.
And has anybody given this any thought? The handmaiden SCOTUS appointee, if there's nobody there to advise and consent, how does it affect that?
I know.
There's also Bill Barr. Don't forget that evil toad frog.
Is that a foggy area or is that cut and dry?
Well, no, she's nominated. Game over.
And she apparently also had COVID.
She had COVID in July. And the president...
So they say
already had it.
The president of Notre Dame got it going to the White House for an event for Amy Coney Barrett.
Doesn't mean she actually had it, Bob. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. I didn't buy it when Rand Paul said he had it. I'm sorry.
Sorry, there was a cat in the studio who had to be ejected.
From Louis Gohmert? Did he ever get over it?
Does anyone care?
Chris is holding a mid.
Well,
he stepped away from public life to spend more time with his asparagus.
Well, I confer. Well, speaking of Louis, I confer with my Louis Gohmert bobblehead figure several times a week, and he hasn't said much lately.
He's
so you do
deathly.
The math.
He's been deathly quiet. That's great. Asparagus feeling quite, neglected.
I've been desperate to provide us with a giggle this evening. And so I got one. This is just too good to pass up. With the news that Nitwit Nero has the Rona, Well, it caused considerable consternation among the MAGOT faithful. And so, every day, Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice has himself a press conference. And today, he wanted to make sure that Donald Trump understood how much we all here, how much, and make no mistake, in no way, shape, form, or fashion does anybody in the whole wide world love Donald Trump more than does West Virginia. So here's Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice, who, by the way, has been Crayolaing in his own COVID map. He's being sued now because he's changing the colors on the map. I shit you not. And he said, I don't know why anybody would think that old Harvard map was better than the map that we got right here with our own experts. Because he's trying to get more people playing football so more people can get sick and die. I'm not kidding. Maybe we'll get into that in a second. But I just thought you'd like to hear from Make West Virginia Great Big Old Governor Jim Justice. You might want
Louis Gohmert voted 2 days ago.
You might want to get the hockey puck.
Friday, October the 2nd. And I've got a golf shirt on because I'm going to be, Dr. Amjad's going to give me my flu shot in just a little while. And, I'm sure that it'll be painless as it is in every way. And, but before I go any further, I'd like us as West Virginians, and, you know,
because us West Virginians is different from other Americans. We love Jesus a whole lot more. Believe you me.
From my standpoint, I know there's many people that can deliver prayers so much better than I could. But I really feel that we as a nation, and especially West Virginians, need to offer up a prayer for our president and the First Lady. So if I could ask you just to bow in prayer just a second, and I'll give it the very best that I can give it. But dear Heavenly Father, you know, our Bible teaches us to offer up in prayer.
The entire state of West Virginia was waiting for him to get to start talking to God again about Kunta Kinte, but we'll just leave that.
For our leaders all the time. You know, I'm close with the president, and I know our president is Donald.
He's telling the almighty creator of the universe this, okay? You know, God, I'm personal friends with Donald Trump, just like you are. And I call him Donald, God.
God.
Donald J. Trump.
Brother of Jeebus.
Hang on, you're going to miss all the fun.
I'm close with the president, and I know our president is Donald. But Donald J. Trump and his beautiful wife, Melania, our first lady, and our president of our nation, have now been tested positive for this dreaded disease and its dreaded killer.
Do you know that, God?
So I know as our leaders, and especially our president, moves forward.
And by the way, just for the value, the comedy gold that it is, for those of you who want to view this later and laugh some more, you'll find it on YouTube under Governor Justice, gov.gov/justice, holds press briefing on COVID-19 response October 2nd, 2020, and you want to pay attention to the American Sign Language for the Deaf interpreter. The faces are fantastic. But anyway, he's talking to God. And I said one time, I said, God, why did you make me rich and Jim Justice and not Kunta Kinte? And God said, because you got a lot of things to do, and you can't. And I got to make you rich, and you can't be Kunta Kinte.
Forward. I'm with him, and I feel his pain. And I also know the errors that he takes as he charges up the mountains. I oftentimes think about
what?
Ronald Reagan. When he was our president.
That stupid orange fucker would collapse if he tried to walk 15 feet up any minor molehill as he charges up our mountains. But notice there's a Ronald Reagan reference here, because you always want a Ronald Reagan reference.
Bob, this sounds like a goddamn Saturday Night Live skit.
As he charged.
I wish it was. It's not. This is the reality I live every damn day. And Agnes watches this religiously. Not religiously. She watches it every day and just comes in and looks at me and says, Bob, he did it. Oh, Bob, he prayed for Donald Trump today. So back to the prayer. And it's not so much a prayer as it is a friendly conversation with the creator of the universe. Because, you know, biggest billionaire in West Virginia, in metaphysically, physically, literally, and figuratively, you got a right to talk to God like that. I mean, oh, God, what was that Judy Blume? What was that Judy Blume novel? God, it's me, Margaret, or something.
Something like, yeah. Yeah. God, it's me, Jim.
But the best thing is, there's also another video out there of a song that I used to get a request for every night when I was a little baby pimply faced DJ at the gospel radio station called Jesus, This Is Jimmy. Oh
my God.
I remember that.
In which little Jimmy goes into the church and pray, and he don't know how to pray, so he just says, Jesus, this is Jimmy. Jesus, this is Jimmy. And the preacher gets mad at him and says, honey, you ain't praying good, son. And the son and the boy cries and walks outside and gets run over by a bus. It's so touching.
But you know what?
That was a truck. Bob, Phantom 409.
Democrats in the House today were doing that too. You know, Sheila Jackson Lee, the fellow from the Democrat from Texas who was putting forward the House resolution concerning domestic violence. They were all wishing him well. And, you know, and it's like they didn't necessarily have to do that. They didn't have to go there. You know, they could have kept it general.
Yeah,
they could have said something like, we wouldn't wish this on anyone, but if you don't wear your masks and you flaunt, you know, you look at this as something that's not serious, you're going to get burnt. We've got a problem on the Democratic side of the coin here.
We're just too friendly. We're too nice.
We're too kindly.
We're too friendly. We're too nice.
Exactly. And he doesn't look. I don't want anything to happen to the man. I'm going to say that because I want to see him do his perp walk. But we don't need to I really feel like it's based in religion, because I think that Sheila Jackson Lee, I think these are individuals who are very religious, and I feel like this is tripping things up.
Well, I get that. It's odious and it's noxious, and it gives me the fan tods. It does. Just say, you know, tots and prayers and move on. Thanks to Jug a Punch. Jug jumped in and got us down to, let's see, $95 to go to finish fundraising for Monday, so that's big. We'll keep things going. Maybe folks can, maybe we'll just get, move things out a little bit more, and get a little bit of the wolf off, get, kick the wolf off the fucking porch. A couple of things. Jim is not done praying. Hold on.
Up the mountains. I oftentimes think about Ronald Reagan. When he was our president and he was dreadfully shot, and as he entered the hospital, he walked in the hospital.
I agree. He was dreadfully shot. If he'd been better shot, we would have had President Bush.
And then they quickly got him to the operating room, and he looked up.
Because God doesn't know about any of this.
I hope all of you are Republicans. And the surgeon replied back, Mr. President, today you can be assured we are all Republicans.
Now, damn it, me and Scott were talking about that very thing last night. Jim, are you listening to the program? Maybe I am West Virginia's most popular radio media personality.
Send him a link to the poll, Bob.
Republicans? My God. Hey, can I, you know what? Would Melania be able to visit Trump at Walter Reed?
No.
And if she can, she can't? Because if she can, I wonder if she will. That's telling if she doesn't and she could.
Why would she?
Exactly, but that's what's telling.
But you don't care, do you?
She's the first lady. She can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Oh, and by the way, Brother Deacon Asa has made this easy. If you want to help me become West Virginia's best media personality, Brother Deacon Asa over at HeadOn.live, just go to HeadOn.live. He's got it all set up, the direct link, bang, go there, vote, and do it every day. You can do it once a day. Make it a little hobby. It could be big fun. We'd be the
Cinderella story.
Yeah, we would. It would, a little non-corporate radio guy turns out to be the most... Yeah, that'd be awesome. But Jim's still praying.
Well, I would ask all of us just this. That today in this country, whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or Republican, I would ask, as this country is divided in a lot of ways that we shouldn't be, that especially today, we all come together as not Democrats or independents or Republicans, but as Americans, and offer up that prayer for our president and our first lady. And also, as we conclude, I would offer up a prayer to God above for the now 355 West Virginians that we've lost. And in every way, I would pray that God above, that you show all of their loved ones that you've got this. You've got this.
What is it? God, what is he, God's basketball coach? You got this.
He's got the Rona, Bob. The Lord's got the Rona.
He's above, too. Don't forget
He's got the whole Rona in his hands. He's got the whole wide Rona in his hands. He's got...
Eye in the sky.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you know what? I just want to say something. Well,
Just let me add one more thing.
Okay.
Now, this guy's telling us that we ain't Democrats, we ain't independents, we ain't Republicans. We's just all West Virginians, and we's just praying for the health and safety of Donald Trump and his lovely wife, Melanoma. Interestingly, it wasn't that long back when he said that any president would be welcome in West Virginia. Any president, any ex-president would be welcome in West Virginia. Well, maybe not Obama.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I made a commitment today. I said, you know what? I'm going to be the bigger person, and I'm going to say I'm going to care about Trump and his wife 10,000 times more than he cared about those who have COVID and those who died. So 10,000 times zero is, zero.
Nice, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Governor Jim has not prayed in Jesus' name yet. He ain't through.
Well, no, but I done canceled him because we're done at 8:03 and I got stuff I got to do. But...
Well, what is that prayer that the Republicans prayed every day of the 8 years Obama was?
Oh, yes, yes,
I
Scott.
I
want
to pray that one.
Yes, may his days be short upon this earth, and may his wife become a widow, and his children be orphans.
Be orphans, yeah.
All right. Write that down and circle it with your Sharpie.
Prayed it right out of the Holy King James Bible, they done did.
You know?
Hey, Bob, so Jim Justice, you're saying that part of his West Virginia governor duties is to be the Chiron breaking news for Gowald?
Yes, he's the and he's also the chief executive prayer. Now, God, you got to listen to me because I'm a billionaire.
Let him walk up the mountains and down the ramps, oh, Lord.
Yeah, as Brother Deacon Asa explained, no. When he charges up mountains, it means something different. In this context, he means when he puts the charges in the mountains to blow the mountains up with an explosive charge.
Well, there you go.
And Brother Deacon Asa adds, by the way, I already did offer up prayer for the president, imprecatory prayer.
There you go.
That's what it's called.
God help us.
They prayed it for 8 years. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
One last thing, and what I mentioned earlier, folks, I just, if you would, consider the, you know, it's been a long time since we've increased the fundraising goal. So if anybody, you know, I'm willing to, you know, up what I do every month to.
Well, and what we really need to do, Steve, and that is bring in more members of the community, because, you know, Brother Deacon Asa did the numbers a while back. And we've got about a 1% contribution rate. About one person for every 100 listeners actually contributes to keep the program on the air. And I'm facing more expenses, and they're not going to go down. They're going to keep going up. You know, I was talking last night about the fact of, you know, trying to get some sort of, you know, little counseling just to take it. And that can't happen at $400 a pop for the first one and $300 for each additional session. Oh, fuck no.
Is that what it costs?
That's what it costs if you want to get counseling therapy at good old Harvard on the Mon, my alma mater, WVU medicine. Yeah, it does.
Jesus, you know what? Man,
and the thing is, if I had Affordable Care Act coverage, I'd still be paying the same thing, because the deductible would be somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000.
Right, Bob. We should talk offline, because I have some possible suggestions/solutions for you.
Okay. But I wanted to thank everybody for a wonderful conversation. I knew that this would be a big night because of the big news, and I want to, and you guys rose to the occasion in fine and rare form. So thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks again to Shorty in LA for the Have a Show on Me. Thank you to our subscribers, PayPal and Patreon both. Thanks to our a la carte contributors, and some of you do a little bit of all three, or a lot of all three. Thank you so much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky in the Old Holler Tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and in which we gather around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable every Friday and sometimes other days. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. HeadOn.live, brand new Malloy on the way in a matter of less than an hour. Stay at HeadOn.live to listen to Malloy. It's the best place to get the program for a variety of reasons. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay home. If it's not obvious now, it should be. This disease is going nowhere fast. If you have to be out and about, please wear your mask, because you're smarter than a maggot. And we want this whole community to come through this unscathed. Wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Take every precaution. Maintain your social distancing of 10 feet, not that pissant 6. 10, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And for pity's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "Hey, I was at a Donald Trump fundraiser and I'm fine," avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.